about.
Ever wanted an escape hatch to leave Earth and its problems? War? Disease? Justin Bieber? Two men are working on one for you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
And the gas now back on, and most of those roads... Excuse me. Sorry, just a little incident here. Most of those roads, including Broadway, are now back open. You guys need to take this back in the studio. I'm sorry.
And now.
I'm sorry for bothering you. You two are obviously not Negroes.
Of course we're not Negroes.
This is a no-Negro zone.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Ain't no thing.
Elroy Heimer.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody, and the terrorists.
Oh, no.
What happened?
What happened? Where's Kevin?
I don't know. I got a call from him, excuse me, about like 10 minutes ago saying he was going to be 5 minutes late, but he didn't give a reason, so I don't know.
Did it sound to you like it was a traffic thing, or was it Party Bus Kevin again, or what was happening?
Well, it sounded like he was in the car, so I could assume, I could only assume it was a traffic thing, but I really don't know.
I think it was a Kevin is late thing, because there's not much going on, traffic-wise. Pretty quiet.
Well, sometimes the weekend's just not long enough.
You're telling me.
You know, you need that extra few minutes to really just put a cherry on top.
Sure. Got a little extra sleep.
Ugh. How are you, Lisa?
I'm good. How are you, Bean?
Doing okay.
All right.
Very sad. My Mariners eliminated from playoff contention on the last day of the season.
Sorry to hear that.
And when people say, why do you get so bummed when they lose a random meaningless game in May? This is why. Because every game counts the same. And when you come up one game short to make the playoffs at the end of September, it hurts.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame.
Hey, look who just walked in.
Hey, did you guys hear the Mariners got eliminated?
How about that?
That hurt, man.
Who's happy about that?
A lot of Oakland Athletics fans, I'll tell you that, because they're in the playoffs instead. So, what's going on, Monkey?
You know, hanging and begging like I do.
I was on vacation two, 3 weeks ago, and you guys did a phone topic, if I recall correctly, with Dave the King of Mexico and other people like him who love to go to Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. They're gangs. We were talking to Disney gangs.
Yes.
And they, you know, they wear the jackets and everything. But what they do is they sort of patrol the park to make sure it's safe.
Huh.
That everybody's obeying the rules.
Yeah,
it's sort throwing of a, away their trash.
Sort of a weird thing because we thought Disney handled that pretty well.
Yeah, I think so. Right.
Yeah. So anyway,
Did you talk to anybody who? I mean, how often were people going that you were speaking to?
Oh, at least once a week.
Once a week, yeah, was not
pretty
out of
typical.
The average.
Okay. Well, here's a guy in the news today. He's a Huntington Beach man. His name is Jeff Wrights. On New Year's Eve 2011, he and his girlfriend made a New Year's resolution that they were going to go to Disneyland every day for 2012.
Oh,
every
my
day.
Gosh.
365 times they were going to go.
Do they not work?
He was interviewed at the end of 2011, about time that he was getting ready to make that resolution, and he told the OC Register that they plan to slow down a little bit in 2013. Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. They did that interview at the end of 2012 after they'd been going for a year, and they said, we're going to slow down a little bit in 2013. Well, that didn't happen. Jeff Wrights is still going every day. He's on Friday. The girlfriend's not with him anymore.
I was going to say.
Obviously.
They broke up.
Yeah.
It doesn't say they broke up. It just says that she doesn't go anymore.
Right.
But this past Friday was his 1,000th day in a row going to Disneyland.
What do you do?
1,000. Wow. Look, I don't care what you're going to Disneyland for or what you love or what's your favorite thing ever. It has to lose some luster when you've gone 600 days in a row, right?
Now he's just, well, I've gone 600. I better go 600 and I can't stop now.
So there have to be days, 1,000. I mean, that's, we're talking a couple of years, right? Three years more?
Yeah, and what, boy, that's bizarre. No matter what it is, like you were saying, I don't know, you know, number 774.
Right.
Don't you go, you know what? Seen it.
I mean, think how much you love banana splits, Kevin. You might have a banana split 40 days in a row, but at some point you're going to wake up and go, I just don't feel like one today.
I'm not positive about that.
Wrong example, Bean.
Right.
He was unemployed when he started the journey back in 2011. He was gifted an annual pass to a park by a friend. He has since joined the workforce. He has a job at the VA hospital in Long Beach, but he still goes every single day to Disneyland. His quote, "It's amazing that I hit such a milestone, and I had no idea when I first started that I'd ever rack up this kind of number." He also has an Instagram and a Twitter account where he logs his activities every day.
Oh, I gotta get that.
I want to know what he does.
He doesn't must seem follow to be getting him. Bored of it anytime soon. You come in here, you walk around, you listen to the music, and everybody's having a good time, and it kind of recharges you. But that means he doesn't get sick, right? It means he doesn't take vacation, or if he does, yeah, he stays local.
Right.
He hasn't traveled at all.
Well, he does get sick, but what you're saying is it doesn't keep him from going to Disneyland.
Right, but he never gets sick enough or has surgery or anything like that prevents him from going. I mean, it's pretty remarkable, really. It's not how I would choose to spend every bit of my 1,000 days, but he seems to be – I mean, I guess he's just at the point now where – you know, he goes, I don't want to break the streak, you know?
And he must not know what else to do with himself, too.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, what a weird thing, because once you break the streak, okay, so?
Yeah, exactly.
And if he keeps going, you know, what does he get something for it?
Is
he
I don't think so.
Going for the Guinness record? Does he get a prize of
is
some
there
kind?
A silver pass or something from Disneyland
right.
when you hit
is there
a million?
Anything that he gets for this.
Well, should we try to get him on?
Yeah. That's right. Crazy.
I'll send this to Dave. We'll try to get Mr. Wright's on. But
oh, Dave knows him.
Sure. Yeah, they hang out.
Part of Dave's posse.
Yeah. Dave goes right, once a week, so he's
so
one
that
of those
happened.
Guys. Yeah, that's crazy. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Every time you talk, I hear that sound that plays when Pac-Man dies.
We have Stuntman on the program today. His name is Bobby Holland Hanton, and we're going to ask him a bunch of questions about what it's like to be in that world.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's not just a stuntman. Apparently, based on the films he's been in, the Dark Knight movies, James Bond movies, the Avengers, he's got to be one of the top guys, right?
I would imagine.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jobs
so,
like
yeah.
that?
Sure.
He's the dude.
Yeah.
Well, not the dude, but he's the man. We have the Mexican flag debacle on today's program.
Very mm-hmm. interesting.
Saw them at the Troop last night as well.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah. They're real good.
Harvey Levin from TMZ. We'll check in with him. We're going to talk to Donald Logue about mm-hmm. Gotham, which is a great new series.
Have
you guys seen
him.
There's only been one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
I never know how far I am behind, but this time I'm actually caught up. And we have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL.
Okay.
And we have, I don't know, Lord will be on the program today.
How about that with a brand new song?
That's pretty cool.
Brand new song in Hunger Games, Mockingjay. And we're going to play the song for you. And we're going to talk to Lord this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat Next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Fresh off a weekend out at the Long Beach Comic Con, our friend Ralph Garman joins us in studio. How did it go, Ralph?
It was great.
Surrounded by Batman fans all weekend?
I was, and I did two signings. I did a signing on Saturday and Sunday for Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, my comic book. And tons of people came out, and tons of Kevin and Bean listeners stopped by to say hi.
Oh, good.
And fire beer mug for the
yeah.
most part. There was a lot of that in line. But
chanting.
People were terrific. It was just a blast, and thanks to everyone who came by and said hi. And it was really, it was a great con. I've been to a lot of Comic Cons, and this was certainly one of the best ones I have attended. So it was fun, really
fantastic.
Good time.
Cool.
And I'm very tired. And they, as a thank you, they bought me a giant bottle of Jameson's Irish whiskey.
Oh, right.
Which I was sampling all weekend.
Well, you sort of have. I mean, you don't want to insult them,
so I'm going to go take a nap.
So you're Comic-Conning this weekend. Didn't you also podcast this weekend, too?
I did. Friday night, we had two shows, an 8 and a 10, and then did the Comic-Con all weekend.
How are you still alive?
Cocaine.
Whatever
only,
it takes.
That's the answer I have. Just giant, just copious amounts of booger sugar, as we call it.
Sure.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. In its debut, no surprise, Denzel's movie The Equalizer, number one, $35 million made it so. The Maze Runner was second with $17.5 million. Then Box Trolls for the Kids did well in its debut, $17.3 million made it number three. This Is Where I Leave You was fourth, Dolphin Tale 2 was fifth. No Good Deed, A Walk Among the Tombstones, Guardians of the Galaxy, Let's Be Cops, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. The biggest showbiz story of the weekend was, of course, George Clooney's wedding. As expected, he said, "I do," to Amal Alamuddin.
I don't know her, but I'm sure she gets a bell.
In Venice, California? Oh. Venice, Italy, on Saturday. Big name guests, as you can imagine, at George Clooney's wedding. Matt Damon and his wife. Bill Murray was there. A Vogue editor, Anna Wintour, was there. John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, Bono and his wife. Adele Dazeem stopped by. I think she was the officiant, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
As you can imagine, it was quite the affair. Water taxis.
He had an affair already? Are you kidding me?
Gilligan. Water taxis escorted everyone to the venue there on the canals of Venice. And the ceremony took place at 8 p.m. as the sun was setting. And then lobster float and risotto and sea bass and cocktails and champagne.
I feel like I would have liked to have been there.
That would sounds be fun. I think it would be a lovely event to attend.
I don't That's really fun. Like to go to weddings much, but
that sounds like it was quite the party. Yeah. They apparently, the party wrapped up around 5 a.m. the next morning, they say.
All right. Wow. You know, it's interesting to hear Kevin bring up, I bet his wife deserves a bell, and she does. She's very, very pretty, but she's a woman. She's a grown-up.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Cool. We talk about these stories a lot of times where you've got an older actor who's dating a much younger woman, you know, and she's 25 or 30 or something like that. She's age appropriate and just super classy and just super pretty and super smart.
Super
and,
smart, yeah.
Yeah.
She's a lawyer and she's involved in international politics and what have you. Sounds like he found a good one.
Good catch.
And likewise with her. And did you guys see the Simpsons Family Guy crossover last night?
I taped it. I didn't see it.
Very, I watched it.
Very, very funny.
Was it good?
Very funny.
Very funny.
And Simpsons also had their season premiere last night. As promised, they killed someone off. Producers of the show had teased the event for several months, noting it was a beloved character whose voice actor had won an Emmy for the part, which set up even more speculation. But in the end, it was, spoiler alert, Krusty's father. A little disappointing to some of the fans.
Yeah,
they were expecting sort of a bigger character to go.
That's not much of a character.
It was voiced by comedian Jackie Mason, who did win an Emmy for that work, but...
Yeah, not somebody you even think of in the Simpsons universe. He appears so rarely.
Right, it wasn't Marge or something.
Right.
And it looks like... Well, I'm almost out of time, but it looks like Saturday Night Live will go on. Without Don Pardo, of course, was the announcer of that show. Daryl Hammond did the announcing this weekend as the 40th season of Saturday Night Live debuted.
Wow.
Two new players, Michael Che and Pete Davidson, joined the cast. Ratings were down about 14% over the last fall's premiere.
That's a surprise.
People speculating perhaps it was the fact that Tina Fey was the host of last season's premiere. Wow. But... maybe 40 years later, people are getting a little tired of Saturday Night Live.
Why is it a surprise, though, Bean?
Well, usually the premiere show does very well. It's very high in the ratings.
And plus, they had Chris Pratt as the host, who couldn't be any hotter. Ariana Grande was the musical guest. She's very popular. I'm just a little bit surprised.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Jerry Lee Lewis is 79 years old today. It's insane he's still alive.
Yeah,
it sure is. Crazy. Actor Ian McShane is 72. Brian Gumbel turns 66. Andrew Dice Clay
is still alive?
Unbelievable. He's 57. Primus singer Les Claypool is 51. And Zachary Levi celebrates his 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Keep listening all week long to K-Rock. We've got passes to Six Flags at Magic Mountain's Fright Fest. It's that time of the year.
I know.
It sure is. Halloween spooks time of year is what it is, mother effer.
Nope. You can win every hour from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Go to krock.com for details.
Last Wednesday, I saw a story with the headline, New World's Hottest Mugshot. And I said, give me some of that. And I clicked on it and I thought, wow, that could be the world's hottest mugshot. She's really, really pretty. This woman who was arrested, I want to say, in Florida, of all places. She is a model. Her name is Angela Coates. It is Unclear to me exactly what she did. She was arrested for disorderly conduct. She said on her Twitter that she was wrongfully arrested by an officer who abused his authority. But I don't know what the particulars are of her case. She was released. She was booked and released on the same day in the courthouse there. You saw the picture, Kevin.
I did, yeah.
What do you think of her?
Well, clearly a dude.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. She's attractive. I don't know. I think I would need to do more research to find out if she's the hottest.
Right.
But she's pretty attractive for somebody that got arrested.
Yeah, most people aren't at their best when they're arrested. They look pretty rough.
Most of the time it's
she
funny.
She looks like she just took a modeling photo.
Looks like a glamour shot,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, and I think she's pretty, but I think you're right, Lisa. I think it's in contrast to most people who, let's face it, are super drunk when they're booked anyway.
Yeah.
She looks like she's pretty well put together. But the reason I bring it up now all these days later is I have, ever since I posted that, and by the way, we just reposted the shot. You can see it at the K-Rock Instagram. You can see it at the Kevin Amin Twitter account. We put it up on the Kevin Amin Facebook page. Please go there and take a look because we have another question for you. The reason I brought it up again is because I posted it and I said, hey, New World's hottest mugshot, you guys. And instantly, people were writing to me, and they were saying what you were joking about, Kevin, which was Kristen and Anita, for instance, write in. It's a dude. Larry writes in, sorry, I call Trenanigans.
well played.
Jay Dixon says, I believe I must concur with Larry. Jason writes in, fix your gaydar, Bean. That's a dude. And all of a sudden, I started getting all of these, you know, all these tweets from people who were, you know, calling me out on this. Like, look, I may not have the best radar in the world in terms of figuring that sort of thing out.
Right.
But I've gone back and I've looked at this photo, and I just don't see it. Is it that she has kind of a strong jaw, Lisa? Is
yes,
that what they're maybe reacting to?
That is what it is.
Probably,
when you look at her face, she's got a strong jaw. She could, I mean, it's very possible just looking at her, she could have been a guy at one point. I mean, I've seen some really beautiful transgender people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, of course. Look
but
at Laverne Cox on Orange is the New Black, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
But I don't see that at all. We'd love to hear from you, the Kevin Bean listener, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067. Do you get any kind of this person used to be a dude or this person is currently a dude pretending to be a woman? Do you get that vibe at all?
I don't at all. I mean, when you said, what do you think about her being the hottest, you know, mugshot, I thought, well, I don't know. I'd like to compare her with a bunch of other women. But I didn't go, hey, that's not a woman.
At first glance.
At all.
I absolutely did not think, oh, that used to be a guy.
Isn't it weird that so many people, though, that was the, I mean, instantly, that's the first thing they thought when they looked at that picture is they thought, dude.
Yeah, because they've been burned.
Yeah.
They are on the lookout.
People that you have heard from have had very, very bad things happen to them.
Yes.
Bad surprise.
It's late at night. It's 2 a.m.
Adam's apple isn't that apparent.
Right.
Just didn't expect. Well, let's hear a little bit, and hopefully we'll get a couple people calling in at 1-800-520-1067. I know it's early, but let's hear from Angela. Angela Coates, again, world's hottest model. She's talking a little bit about the surprise that she is having now that her mugshot is gone worldwide.
At first, my reaction, it was just kind of like, okay, yeah, somebody got a hold of my mugshot, you know, great, whatever. It's public records anyway, so whoever was bored and being nosy, I mean, you know, congratulations to you. But then once it started getting a little bit more serious and, you know, more viral, and when I could go on Google and Google, you know, my name saying, you know, is Angela Coates the new prison bae, I kind of was in shock. I just was like, wait a minute. One, I didn't even do anything wrong. Two, I was just hoping the whole situation would go away. And a month later, now it's just everywhere. So at first I was a little, you know, I was a little anxious because it kind of, you know, it had me a little upset because this is my private business. It's no one else's business. And honestly, the look I'm trying to go for is definitely not involving any type of, you know, crime mugshot or anything to do with that.
Right. But are you a man?
they didn't even ask her that question,
right,
did they?
How weird would that be if you were if you got arrested and your mugshot got put out there and then everybody was like, that's a dude? That's really kind of embarrassing, right?
You're trying to be a model.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really would be for her, especially because, I mean, she says she does work as a model, too. So I think that would be a big surprise to her.
I believe it. I believe her when she says that.
I asked Ralph to step in here, too, because when we put this picture up on the screen on Friday, he had an unusual response to it as well. Now, Ralph, you said you did not see dude, but you saw something else.
You can't.
I don't remember. I don't remember what
Ralph was not really here. I mean, he was here, but he wasn't really here on Friday, as you'll recall.
Ralph did say not a nude, first of all.
Was it something about her eyes or her eyebrows or something like that, or eye socket or something? I can't remember what it was. You thought she'd been – thought that something was hinky about this mugshot, you said.
I hope it was eye socket.
Let me see. Can we pull up the picture? Maybe I can remind me what I was talking about.
Yeah. And I was just surprised because I saw none of it.
He looks so blank.
This is totally – I totally got ambushed here. her eye. Look at her eye. Look at the left eye.
The left eye is kind of janky.
Looks like she's had reconstructive surgery on that eye. Looks like she got hit in the side of the head with a ball peen hammer and they put her back together again. They did the best they could. Don't get me wrong.
She's a very, very pretty woman, though.
But you
she's
don't
fine.
You don't see guys.
She's not, and I don't see the hottest. I mean, is she the hottest woman's ever had a mugshot
taken?
Well,
that's my question, too. But that was the headline of the article is new hottest woman. And I don't know. That's up for grabs.
Well, imagine the internet taking something silly, ridiculous and blowing it way out of proportion.
I love the idea that Bean was questioning himself all weekend.
I really was.
I can't tell anymore.
Well, Bean's wanted a dude for a long time. Let's face it.
That sounded like the out to me.
Okay.
Just after 7 o'clock this morning here on the show, we talked to actor Donald Logue, of course, one of the stars of Gotham on Fox tonight at 8 o'clock. Excuse me. By the way, speaking of new shows, let me tell you about something on the Reels channel that premieres tonight at 5 o'clock our time. It is called TMZ Hollywood Sports. Harvey Levin in the TMZ newsroom. What the heck is TMZ Hollywood Sports, my friend?
We are so excited about this. We've been covering sports for years, and obviously some of the stories we do are really serious in sports, like Ray Rice. But there are a lot of other stories we do that are really just these fun stories about athletes partying, sexy girls, sexy guys, the cars they buy, the places they go, the hijinks they get into. And it's just this really fun hour-long show Monday through Friday. And we put it together, and Reels took it, and it's going to be on Reels Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 every night. And if you want to find Reels, just go to their website, R-E-E-L-Z, or check in your directory. But we're so excited about this.
Check that out. Congratulations.
Yeah, no kidding.
We're really excited.
And this is a different show than the previous sports show that you had on Channel 13, right?
We morphed it. We decided to morph it and do it this way. So it's kind of the evolution of that show.
Gotcha.
And we've been working on it, and then we roll it out today.
Well, there's no question that some of the biggest celebrities in the world are sports stars. So it makes a lot of sense that you would
you may not know anything about sports, but you know these people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sure you do. All right. Well, that's great. So that's tonight at 5 on the Reels channel. Check Reels.com to find out where you can see it near you. Let's talk about a couple of things going on. I was horrified when I saw the headline that Jennifer Lopez had been in a car accident, but apparently she's fine, Harvey?
She's fine, but she was hit by a drunk driver. They were driving. Her and Leah Remini were driving. I love this. I mean, this is how rich she is. She bought a new car, but Leah Remini's driving it.
Right.
Leah Remini is becoming her Gayle King. And she really is. And so Leah's driving the car on Pacific Coast Highway. Jennifer's a passenger. There are two kids in the car, and they're at a light, and some guy in a pickup truck slams into them from behind and then takes off. So one of them calls 911. Sheriffs come. They find the guy a couple blocks down and arrest him for drunk driving and hit and run. They are okay, but, I hope they're okay, but sometimes – you know, soft tissue injuries, whiplash or whatnot, it takes a day or two to kind of surface, but they say they're okay.
How much damage to her car, do we know?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, but I think she can probably afford the deductible,
It was probably bad, though, considering it's a new car. When you get a new car, like, you don't even want it to get dirty, let alone scratched or in an accident.
We couldn't tell what kind of car it is. It looks kind of like a Rolls, but we couldn't tell.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, here's the real question I have for you, Harvey Levin, and that is, how did you get back from the wedding in Venice, Italy, so fast to be back in the newsroom?
It's just unbelievable. It's that tube, the TMZ tube.
Sure.
This is the new wedding of the century, right?
Well, it looked pretty awesome. It really did look pretty awesome. And it started, a week ago when we got video of Randy Gerber loading 50 cases of, the tequila that he and George sell. onto a private jet and then taking off for Italy. And it, I mean, it really looked amazing. But I got to tell you, this is my favorite part. We got a hold of this. There's this sheet that's going around that we found that all of the guests got this. And it says, and it's so funny because it isn't what it seems. It says, look, we want you to have a great time, and we're going to give you a phone. And that phone is going to have a code, and that's going to be like your admission ticket. So you can use the phone if you need to call somebody from inside. We'd like you to leave your phone either in the hotel room, or if you really need it, there'll be a kiosk outside, and you can leave your phone there. Now, if you want to take pictures, we're going to actually give you a camera where you can take pictures and you can have mementos of what this ceremony was like in the reception. So take as many pictures as you want. You should know that there is a code that allows George himself and others to access the pictures in your camera because they're very concerned about all these hackers in the news lately.
Sure.
Well, if you think about it, that makes no sense. They're not concerned about hackers because the code isn't going to help them for that. What they're concerned about is Amal's third cousin who takes pictures and then starts selling them to the media.
Yeah,
yes,
true.
That's right.
And then they can start searching cameras and say, oh, that's the picture that matches, and they call them up and say, oh, you got some splaining to do.
So in other words, they want to make sure that none of the photos that their guests took from inside the wedding or the reception end up on TMZ.com.
That's a sad story.
Did George have some sort of a deal with an outlet for exclusivity for the photos or something?
I don't know. He doesn't seem like that type of guy. But you never know. But I would really be surprised if he did that. He just does not seem like that kind of guy.
Unless he could do like Brad and Angelina did and figure out a way to make a lot of money go to charity. Yeah, exactly.
I got to tell you, I don't know. I mean, look, my gut is no, but I don't know.
I saw that Matt Damon was there. I saw Bono was there. Was Brad Pitt there, too?
No, Brad Pitt wasn't there.
What's that about?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it might have been as simple, you know, as far as I know, they're still really good friends. But
he could have just been working or something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's anything beyond that. I really don't.
All right. Last question from me, Harvey, before you go to your meeting. Were you and the guys in the newsroom surprised that this wedding actually happened? George Clooney, the confirmed bachelor, 50 plus years old, actually got married. Was anyone surprised there?
Yeah. I mean, on a level, a lot of people were surprised. But, you know, it's funny because she is how do you say this?
I like it.
He's dated a lot of women who are not his intellectual equals.
Right.
And at a point, it kind of stalls. And she is his intellectual equal.
Yeah.
And she's pretty hot.
Absolutely.
And you know, she's interesting and accomplished, and she doesn't just live in his orbit, and she doesn't need him.
Right.
You know, it's like she seems like the deal breaker for him in terms of him saying, I'm never going to get married again. And so on a level, she really does kind of have all of that, but she really is her own person, and she has everything. I mean, she's beautiful, she's accomplished, she's smart.
It's so interesting.
She's interested in the stuff he's interested in.
It's so interesting, and I wonder if there's a lesson in this for people, is that the more independent she is, the more attractive she is to him, it sounds like.
Oh, I see. I think that's right. And it may be that in the short term, look, I'm not a psychologist, but in the short term, you know, he just went with a bunch of hot women. But
yeah.
At a point, it just kind of stalls. And I think he was bowled over by her.
Hey, you don't have to tell us. We're so tired of just hot women. I got
to
be honest.
God, one after the other.
All right. Check out the new TMZ Hollywood Sports premiering at 5 tonight on the Reels channel. And, of course, all your other TMZ programming can still be found on Fox Channel 11. Harvey, thanks so much for the time. Have a great week, my friend.
You too, guys. Thank you.
Look, I'm like most of our listeners. I'd love to only play the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I wish that was the only band we played. But every once in a while, we've got to play something else. And at 8 o'clock this morning, we're going to premiere a brand new song from Lorde for you. It is called Yellow Flicker Beat. It is from the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 soundtrack. And we'll also talk to Lorde about the song and about the fact that she is curating the other songs on the soundtrack for this new Hunger Games movie, too. So that's 8 o'clock this morning. Lorde joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's talk about North Korea and the leader Kim Jong-un, who I believe is 31 years old.
It's hard to tell with the Asians, but yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, seriously, he could be 30, he could be 60. I can't tell.
Well, and especially in a place like that where he's a dictator, he can say he's whatever age he wants to be.
They don't give us any information.
And remember, his father was the one with all the holes in one the first time he played golf. I mean, pretty much you say it and the media report it as fact.
So apparently he's been missing out on some public functions, and people are starting to wonder if he's sick.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a limp since July, and they're trying to figure out why he's missing some of these, you know, events. And
state functions, right?
They actually finally put out a statement, and this is my favorite statement ever about a guy being sick. Kim Jong-un is suffering, quote, discomfort.
That's it?
That's it. There's no from diabetes. There's no, there's nothing else except for discomfort. Like that in itself in North Korea is what is enough. That's enough.
Yeah,
that's
no all you need to know. Ask anything more.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know, discomfort.
It's so weird. There are so many things that happen in the United States with our government and our press that we take for granted that are just not that way around the country. I mean, there are a lot of countries around the world where leaders can disappear for 2-3 weeks and nobody knows where they are and nobody can ask. I mean, we got a minute-by-minute update on where the president is in this country.
Yeah.
It's just something that we're kind of used to. But one of the rumors is that Kim Jong-il, might have the gout, which is not something you want. But we thought, you know what? Why speculate? Dave's got the hotline to North Korea, and I believe we can get the dear leader on the phone himself. Kim Jong-un joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Mr. President.
Hey! How you go?
How are you? Long time no talk. We missed you.
It's been a very long time since we talked, and I've not missed you at all.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised by that at all. But how's North Korea? How are things going in your country?
North Korea is still greatest country in the world.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I am greatest leader also in the world.
And you've not been showing up to certain state events. They say you're suffering from discomfort.
That crazy talk.
That's crazy talk?
Yeah.
You're fine?
Of course I'm fine. I'm Kim Jong-un.
Right. But that doesn't mean you're not human. You can still get sick. Like this thing with the gout, I mean, it runs in your family, I understand.
I don't get sick. I have amazing physical prowess.
Okay.
And I've just been busy, too busy to go to these things.
It's not just that you're fat.
I'm not fat.
Well, you're fat.
I'm not fat.
You're a little fat.
I'm not fat.
All right. Okay.
I am just swollen with muscles.
Oh, those are muscles. Those are just a special flabby kind of muscles.
It's not flabby. It's muscle. I muscle my face, my neck, my head, my butt. I have muscle everywhere, and it's pushing my skin to the maximum point of stretching.
I see. That's what it is.
I am so muscular. Look, I'm going to lift this car up. I have a Honda Accord right here. Lift it up.
Okay. Well, we can't see if you're...
Are we just taking your word for it?
I am so strong.
We can't see if you're lifting a car.
I am so strong. Look at me lift this car. My car is high now over my head, and now I'm slowly lowering the car back to the ground, and it is down. There, I lift the car.
What if we don't believe you?
How can you not believe me?
Well, because we can't see it. It seems unlikely that you could have the phone in one hand and lift the car with the other.
Boy, you can't see it. I just told you I lift Honda Accord. What's wrong with you? And I'm also in amazing physical condition. Everybody say, oh, he had diabetes.
Right.
He had high blood pressure.
Uh-huh.
He has obesity.
Obesity, right.
Yeah. I don't have any of those. And here's my doctor. Doctor, let's show these people with my cardiogram how strong I am. Go.
Are you developing a photo? What's going on, Kim Jong-un?
I know that sounds like Xerox machine, but it's supposed to be heart monitor.
All right. Well, what are we supposed
to... I have to go have Omar killed.
What are we supposed to take away from your heart monitor? What does it show?
It's supposed to be like beep, 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 flatline, and then like paddles going clear, and then like me coming back to life. That would have been so funny.
That would have been good, yeah.
It sure would have been.
Where do you think the breakdown happened here, Kim?
I think I need new special effects sound guy.
Okay.
Luckily, because I'm dictator, I can have him murdered.
Fantastic.
So I'm going to go do that.
Okay, then.
Bye.
Bye, fatty. Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Ralph is here in studio with us for the Showbiz Beat this hour. But Thursday, Ralph, you're going to be live once again for the blood drive. You're going to be down at Universal Studios Hollywood starting at 6 a.m.
Yes, I will be personally taking your blood. They give me a box cutter and some Ziploc bags.
That's not the case.
That doesn't.
And what I will do, I'll just I'll cut you. There. I'll open you up, and then we just drip the blood into a Ziploc bag. No. I zip it up. First, I taste it to make sure it's fresh. Then I zip it up, and then I write your name on it. No. And then,
this is actually professionally done.
I put it in a cooler.
I don't think any of that is happening. I think they have an actual phlebotomist who's going to be drawing the blood and doing it safely.
How dare you, racist bastard.
But here's the awesome thing, Ralph. For
why has it
got to
be a phlebotomist? Why can't it be a white guy?
For folks that come down, we're giving away, and by we, I mean you, are giving away tons of prizes, including tickets to Kings of Leon, Cage, the Elephant, Queens of the Stone Age, so much more. It's going to be Thursday at Universal Studios Hollywood. By the way, if you're giving blood, parking is free.
Yeah.
It's K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive, and it is this Thursday morning. Your chance to meet the great Ralph Garman, get your blood drawn, and win some prizes too. You can get all the details at krock.com.
Yeah, I think it's there at the Globe Theater, the back lot of Universal, but we'll give you all the details.
And
on
we
the
only
website,
need
how to get there.
5 pints from each of you.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
don't worry about
a gallon, maybe.
It's gonna be good.
A gallon would be good. If Bierman comes down, we're just going to drain him dry. We could finally say, and then, I don't know what happened, and just take his just emaciated carcass and just put it in a dumpster.
Right, but then what do you do with the blood? I mean, it's just nothing
it's
weed blood.
Can't use that. No, whatever comes out of him is not fit for human consumption. It is. It's just Crisco. Yeah, Crisco oil just comes out of him.
Make some french fries with it, probably.
We could. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. The Equalizer, no surprise there. The highly anticipated Denzel Washington thriller made $35 million this weekend.
How was it, Kevin?
It was good.
Oh, that's not a rave review.
A good.
You were so excited about it.
Is like a thumbs down from a lot of.
Here's the thing.
Like, you know, people.
There's a lot of kicking ass going on, and I love that, and I love Denzel in that role. But there's not much other than that. Like, you don't really know what his background is. Mm-hmm. You don't really understand why he's so upset. You don't really.
But you don't care about any kind of character development or backstory. You just want something that pins the loud meter.
Isn't he upset because Chloe Grace Moretz gets roughed up by these guys?
Yes.
Isn't that what he does?
But he barely knows her. He sits in a diner with her every once in a while. I mean, it's just there was no one to connect to.
Yeah.
Having said that, there was a lot of ass kicking, and that's cool. I love that.
But
for those of you that need more than that, I don't think that was provided.
Is there a chance maybe there's stuff was provided and you just missed it?
Oh,
is that
always
possible?
Oh, that's always possible.
Yeah, see, that's why I find this whole thing dubious. I might have to go. I have to go myself and check it out.
All right,
because there may be large chunks of plot that was explained that went over your head.
And then if I'm right, you give me $100.
I won't give you $100.
You'll give me $10.
I'll give you a hearty hand clasp and a pat on the back.
I want a good movie.
Yeah, that's the guy we're taking. We're taking movie reviews from. Maze Runner was second, $17.5 million. Then The Box Trolls, This Is Where I Leave You, was fourth. Dolphin Tale 2 was fifth. No Good Deed, A Walk Among the Tombstones. Guardians of the Galaxy, Let's Be Cops. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles rounded out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Private memorial service for Robin Williams was held over the weekend in San Francisco, California. Robin's hometown with Robin's family. And just an amazing gathering of stars who came out to pay tribute to the lost comedian at the Curran Theater there in San Francisco. Stevie Wonder performed during the musical portion of the tribute. Billy Crystal spoke eloquently at the memorial, as did Whoopi Goldberg, Bobcat Goldthwait, Bonnie Hunt, Eric Idle, Robin's three children, Cody, Zelda, and Zach all got up and spoke, along with his wife, Susan. The celebrities who attended, it's kind of crazy. Bette Midler, Ben Stiller, Christine Taylor, George Lucas, Penny Marshall, Danny DeVito, Rhea Perlman, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Gus Van Sant, Chris Columbus, Jeff Bridges, Minnie Driver, Marlo Thomas, Josh Groban, Seth Green, Eddie Izzard, Richard Lewis, Pam Darbo were just some of the people in attendance. They say it was remarkable and touching and funny and all the things that Robin Williams was. So it's kind of a cool event.
All of the celebrities in the world were either there or at the Clooney wedding.
That's true.
That's it.
If you did a drone strike, you'd have taken out all of show business in two locations. If you did like an ISIS-style smart bomb. But luckily, no one did that. Speaking of famous people, Linda Lohan.
apparently stepping up her game a little bit.
Oh.
She is still,
that's a rare statement.
She is still going on stage every night in London doing David Mamet's Speed the Plow. And reports came out of the UK that this Saturday's performance was better. She only missed one line on stage.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. They say she's doing better in a very difficult play, and she only needed help with one line during the entire performance.
Huh.
How about that?
And as you pointed out Friday, Ralph, these are previews. Kind of what this is for.
Doesn't open until Thursday, so she still has time to learn the entire play before opening night.
Wow.
Well, which would be a refreshing idea. The play did start 15 minutes late on Saturday, however. But it wasn't her fault.
Oh.
Richard Schiff, her co-star, got sick, in quotes.
Mm.
He's like, I don't want to do this show. the understudy had to go on, so that's why the curtain time was pushed back a little bit. Everyone assumed it was Lindsay Lohan stumbling in drunk from a pub. But
you really do immediately think it's her.
It was not her fault.
He's just sitting backstage going, I was on the West Wing.
Yeah,
come on. What am I doing?
I think I'm too sick to go on. Today's celebrity birthdays. Zachary Levi is 34 years old today. Les Claypool, Primus singer, 51 years old. Andrew Dice Clay, Hickory Dickory Dock, this broad was sucking
right.
Unbelievable. He's 57 years old.
Did your opinion of him change after his performance in that Woody Allen movie earlier this year, Ralph?
Here's a little secret, a little dark secret that I don't tell many people across the board. I'm actually a big Dice Clay fan.
Are you really?
Yeah. Huh. Was in the beginning when he was sort of a monster stand-up. I thought he was putting the world on, and I got a huge kick out of his stuff. I even liked Ford Fairlane, his failed movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked him on he did a great job on Entourage. Every time he shows up, I'm always happy to see him. So I was a fan, and then even more so with the Woody Allen performance in Blue Jasmine, which was terrific.
Because he plays a character that's kind of dumb and rude and out of it, yeah. But that's all smartly calculated, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Same with me.
Yes. Kevin's radio persona is also a well-crafted performance art piece that has been going on now for 25 years.
But you can't crack it. That's what's remarkable about Kevin.
He never falls out of character.
Nope.
He is the most committed performer I've ever had the pleasure of working with. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's like working with Olivier every day. Phil Olivier is a guy who had brain damage in my neighborhood.
Yeah. He's not as good.
Andrew Dice Clay is 57 years old today. Brian Gumbel, 66. Ian McShane is 72. And legendary rock and roll singer Jerry Lee Lewis, the Killer as he was known, 79 years old today. He has no stomach and has had most of his major organs replaced with, Tonka toys or Legos
true?
Or something. I don't know how they put him back together again. But it's remarkable that he's still alive.
And performing. And has a new album coming out next month.
79 years old. He's a freak in nature.
Wow.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now, we'll talk to Lorde, who, by the way, is still only 17 years old.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind you of that.
Yep.
And they've given her a big job. She is picking the songs for the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 soundtrack. We'll be debuting the first song from that album, which is a song by her. That'll be 1 hour from right now here on K-Rock. First, though, Monday night now means Gotham on Fox at 8 p.m. in my house. Episode 1 aired last week. It's back again for Episode 2. Very excited to welcome back to the program Donald Logue. He is Detective Harvey Bullock on the program. Hey, Donald, how are you, buddy?
This is getting good, man. This is getting fairly I was like, well, wasn't that long ago I was running around in Dublin trying to find your phone number to call you the Vikings.
Yeah, sure.
I was like, someone wrote it. They took it. Oh, my God. I was so paranoid I wasn't calling in on time.
Soon you will just memorize the number. You will have called so often.
This is great. Thank you. And my family's listening back in Los Angeles. My kids were really excited.
Fantastic. Oh, that's great. Well, listen, Donald, I'm glad that you brought up the last time you were on, because we still talk about that. Kevin, do you remember what happened to us that morning?
I do. Yes.
We had Donald on, yep. And he was promoting his Sons of Anarchy, which was going to be on
the
that
Sons of Anarchy thing, right? Yeah,
right. But you were called. You're right, though. You were calling us from the set of the other show,
the Vikings.
And, Vikings, right? So we're having you on, and we're having a great time. We're all talking about how much we love Sons, and you're like, "Yeah, this season has been really fun, and I'm really having a great time, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to what's happening. A lot of good stuff coming down the pike this season." Fast forward like 10 hours later, we're watching the show. You are beaten to death on a table.
That's right. I couldn't. What was I going to say?
A little heads up. Yeah. We talked to you in the morning. You died in the night. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
So our follow-up question.
Hopefully that doesn't happen on episode 2 of Gotham.
Our follow-up question is, episode 2 of Gotham is tonight. Is that why you're calling?
No, yes, exactly. It becomes the death call that they need to make. Well, I have to say, like, you know these things in advance, and so for me, for Vikings and Suns and stuff, I actually kind of would prefer to come on a show and have a really short, hot trajectory and go out being killed by everybody.
Right.
It's more fun. But Gotham looks like we're settling in. I can guarantee that as of episode 9, which we're working on right now, like, Bullock's still alive and still around.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know whether to trust you or not, but okay. Harvey Bullock is a guy, he's only been in the Batman universe, I say only, it's been like 40 years. He came around in the 70s, and there have been a lot of incarnations of him over the years in various media. Does any of that play into the way you play the character, or are you just starting from page one of script one?
I think that I would definitely lean more to the page one, script one kind of side of things, because in reading Gotham Central, you know, it's pretty dark, and so I don't think that that's exactly the Bullock that they wanted. Clearly that was the template. And the animated series, it was interesting because I thought, you know, the guy did a fantastic job. But in a way, in the animated world, it's so heightened and so SpongeBob-y in some ways. You have to really just go to a really colorful place that it's impossible to match. You don't want to do an impersonation or an impression. And so I think, you know, for both Ben and myself, who plays James Gordon, Jeff Johns was like, just make them your own, which was nice, you know, to get that kind of blessing from the chief, you know, and that's what something that Bruno Heller and Danny Cannon, who were kind of the two creative forces behind the show, that's what they told us as well.
You brought up Ben. Let's talk about Ben McKenzie, who is great in this show. He's great
he's
in
fantastic.
Everything.
Yeah. He was great in Southland. Yep. He was good, you know. And I remember when I first saw him, I first really noticed him on Junebug, this movie with Amy Adams.
Yeah, that's right.
That she got the Oscar nomination for. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's that dude from the OC.
Oops, is that our phone or is that his?
All good. That was
we're
me.
Good.
That was me,
good.
But everything's good.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? That's so funny. It's people calling me from Los Angeles going, dude, you're on Kevin and Bean right now. Hey, what's up, bro? I'm listening to you on the radio. It's like, yeah, I'm on the phone talking to him on the radio.
Give me a minute. Sorry. Give me a minute. I'll call you back.
That's funny. We love Ben, too.
Yeah, Ben's great.
And it's interesting because, you know, he played a police officer in his last role in Southland, which we just love so much. But everything is... it's heightened reality the way you guys are playing this. I mean, that's what's so interesting. The tone of Gotham is so interesting because it's realistic, but yet it's also not. Does that make any sense to you, Donald?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a total challenge that way, you know, and it's, you know, the colors are a bit brighter on the edges and things. And sometimes we joke and we try things and we talk about it because, I mean, we really try and go kind of dragnet with it every once in a while. And because there's something about the noirish vibe of this universe. There's something about those old noir movies and TV shows that I love so much. And I think stylistically that's part of it. It's a bit stylized. It's not obviously as – I mean, look, Sons of Anarchy, Southland, everything in a weird way is a narrative fictional world that they're writing and you're acting in and
right.
everything. But, you know, there's always a sense of style to some of these shows, and our style – you nailed it. It's a little bit more theatrical. It's colorful on the edges. And that's what I like about the world. We play it pretty straight, but there's a lot of wild, weird stuff happening in the world. But I think that you have to play it kind of straight to be the guys who are taking people as kind of the tour guides through the world.
I went to it, and I was a little afraid, you know, before the first episode that it is sort of cartoonish, but not really. And you want to walk that line, but you also want it to be pretty real. And I think you guys did a great job of that.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, we're aware of that. And that's, to me, it's the trickiest job I've had in a long time because it's got to be, you know, there's those weird competing notes, too. It's like, don't forget that he's charming or he's funny or he's weird or don't be, you know, be scary. And it was... in a strange way, it was a lot more comfortable to just get into Sons and things like that, where you knew that this shark was kind of, you know, you kind of knew dialed into who these people were, but this one's a trickier gambit, I think. And so we're working hard at it, but we're having fun. We're really lucky because we have a huge cast, and not necessarily in the pilot in the first, but as the world goes on, as the season progresses, we spend a lot more time with people like Alfred and Enigma, who becomes the Riddler, and so it starts to open up. We have a lot of great people on this show.
Who's the actor that plays Bruce Wayne? Because I believe that he is much more mature and smarter than I am right this minute.
Yeah, he is, than all of us. David Mazouz is his name, and he is tremendous. He's so good. But did you see him with Kiefer in his last show?
Yes.
I thought he was fantastic in that.
I did too. So, I love that show.
You know, that had nothing to do with, like, I just kind of started finding out because my sister had worked with Ben on Southland, and she always, before this went down, she always had great things to say about Ben. So it was just kind of as the cast assembled, I thought, wow, that's great. Yeah. And they're really cool people.
Well, it really is. And, you know, you don't need any help getting the people who are already loving Batman in, because to see the young Catwoman and the young Alfred and the young, you know, Penguin and Riddler and everything, that's great. But you're going to get the rest of the world in when they just see the relationship that you and Ben have. You know, just playing partners who kind of don't trust each other, kind of don't like each other sometimes, but kind of have each other's back. I mean, that's the character is the heart of everything, and you guys are bringing it, man.
Thank you so much. Great. It's always great to talk to you.
And we're sad that you're going to die tonight on the show, but other than that.
He goes out in the first 3 minutes.
Tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox, do not miss Gotham, whatever you do. Donald Logue, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
I felt guilty last time we spoke.
Oh, you didn't. You didn't feel guilty.
There was no way I could let any cat out of the bag.
Hey, we know Kurt Sutter will personally come and kill you in real life if you spoil.
Yeah.
We know how that works.
There's no doubt, man. I live in awe and fear of Kurt for sure.
Yeah, as do we all. Thank you, Donna. We'll talk to you again soon.
He's awesome. All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
No, Lisa, we're not going to leave. We're going to do the interview, okay?
But this one's for me,
you're
you
not
guys. Listen, I sit there and I listen to you, la, 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 with Playboy Playmates and whatever, and come on.
This
give
one's
girl
for you.
One.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Holland Hanton is our guest in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You may not know his name, but you know his work because he is the stunt double to the stars. Bobby, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Captain Phillips, Skyfall, Dark Knight Rises, John Carter, Sherlock Holmes, War Horse, Captain America the First Avenger, Harry Potter, Green Lantern, the list just goes on and on and on. It's unbelievable how many movies you've done.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to be in the position I'm in. Just kind of pinch yourself every day, but may it continue, may it carry on.
Is it, I'm not familiar with the world of stuntmen all that much. It seemed to me like there would just be a lot of jobs for a lot of people. But is it a thing where, like, once you become the man, now you're in all the movies? Does it work that way? Because it seems like it.
I mean, I really hope so. I mean, London, we've got a really small stunt community. There's probably 350 stunt performers in the UK. And I believe in the States there's nearly 9,000.
Wow.
So it's a massive, massive difference. But all the films at the moment just seem to be starting in London, or the production company starts there and then goes on location. So because of that, I think once you've worked with a big profile stunt coordinator, and they get to know what you can do, and they think you know that you can do the job that they need you to do,
right,
then hopefully they'll take you on the next show, and then it kind of rolls on after that. So,
and
yeah.
When you start doubling for a particular person, don't you generally continue to do that if they're...
Yeah, I mean, that is the pinnacle for, I'll speak for every stunt performer, that is the pinnacle for any stunt guy, is to be in an actor's contract.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky enough to have that opportunity with Chris Hemsworth. So, you know, if the actor basically likes what you do and they think you make them look good, uh-huh, then, you know, it's great. They'll say, okay, do you want to come and do the next movie with me? And that's kind of how it works. So, yes.
Now, I could stunt double for Stephen Hawking today. I could do that.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm not sure you're much more active than he is.
I don't know if he actually ever does any stunts for you.
So, I have so many questions for you, Bobby. Okay, so for instance, in The Dark Knight Rises, you're the stunt double for Batman. So you wear the bat suit.
Yeah, growing up as a kid, I think anyone that gets that opportunity is, I was super excited when I got that call. I didn't even believe when I got that call from, I thought it was a prank call.
To be honest. Did? Yeah. That was like one of your buddies?
He said, oh, I've got an opportunity, you might be able to come in and potentially stunt double for Christian Bale in the new Batman. And I was kind of like, sorry, what? Is that a joke?
I thought you said the word Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there any scenes in that film that you can talk about? Anything in particular that you did that was either felt like a dream come true or was especially challenging or fun?
Yeah, for most stunt performers, one tick-off stunt that you want to do is a 100-foot high fall. That's kind of the cream of the crop of high falls, and that's what I do. My speciality is jumping around. And in that scene, as Bruce
Wayne...
What
a bizarre sentence. My specialty is jumping around.
My specialty is landing on my head for a living. That's what my specialty is. But in the scene as Bruce Wayne, when he's in the prison after Bane has broken his back...
Right.
He then tries to climb out of the
sure.
So that was my first 100-foot high fall on camera. So that was, that adrenaline was obviously going pretty fast at that point. I mean, that is a definite standout stunt for me that I've achieved. Yeah.
And when they do a stunt like that, are there any kind of invisible wires or anything like that are helping you with that, or is it a free fall?
No, I actually had a cable on me to stop me from hitting the floor, but it was still free fall. But then it's part of the scene, so he's got the rope wrapped around his waist.
Right.
And he's supposed to jump for the rock and misses it, hit the wall, and then you fall, and then he swings back in. So it's actually part of the story that, we just, they intertwine that cable into the rope.
Gotcha. Yeah. How many times did you do it?
I was just going to ask, how many times did you have to do that?
I did it four times.
Really?
Four times. And I think the third time... I was pretty close. I slammed into the wall head first, and that, it was just, there's nothing you can do about it. Every time I did it out of those four goes, it's very different. Every time you hit the wall, you're going to fall a different way. So it's just one of those things.
But at the end, like after the third one, you got that, right? Like, we don't need to go again.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of look up, and Chris Nolan's directing, and you kind of look up all sheepish eyes, and is it, got that? Are we no, let's go again.
Let's go again.
Okay, it's fine. So,
great. Hang on. Let me get the blood off my head.
Yeah.
Do you ever run into the star wants to do the stunt himself? Is that ever a thing that happens on the set?
Yeah. I mean, again, nowadays, the actors are so athletic themselves anyway. Like, look at the shape that Hemsworth's in. It's ridiculous. They're athletes. They're not just actors. And I did Jupiter Ascending. I was doubling Channing Tatum. It comes out next February, I believe. And he is super, super athletic. He's got, it's a dance background, and he wants to do everything himself. But the thing is, he can do it himself. Right. The only thing that, sometimes is as a producer or... Even though the actor wants to do it, they kind of say, okay, let's let the stunt guy do it. Because not because they can't do it, it's more the fact if they get injured, then the show goes down and it costs money. So that's where we're replaced. So
the studio cares more about Channing Tatum's face than yours if something's going to hit a wall,
exactly.
Right?
I don't know why, but yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
Our guest in studio is Bobby Holland Hanton. You can follow him on Twitter at Bobby Hanton. He is a stuntman, and we've got so many more questions about this fascinating line of work, and I bet there are an awful lot of people listening who think, wow, that sounds like a great job. Is it a great job, by the way, Mommy?
No.
Just call him Mommy?
You got it,
Bobby.
Dude.
I said Bobby.
It sounded like Mommy.
Is it a great job?
It's pretty boring, to be honest. No.
Well, I want to hear more about that.
It's super action-packed.
When we return right after this on K-Rock. 20 minutes from right now, we'll talk to Lorde on the phone. She has a brand-new song from the Hunger Games soundtrack, Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1. We'll be premiering that for you and talk to Lorde about the song. That's 20 minutes from right now here on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, we're talking to stuntman Bobby Holland Hanton. He is in town. Well, we don't know why he's
in town.
He doesn't know why he's in town. you say you just finished the Avengers Age of Ultron?
Yes, we finished filming in London August 8th. I filmed in Korea first.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Back in, March, I think now.
And you were Chris Hemsworth in that one as well?
No, I did. I was stunt doubling Captain America for the sequences in Korea.
What a bizarre world you have. What a bizarre thing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And I know how, especially these days with those Marvel movies, they must make you sign your relatives away. They must make you sign in blood. I mean, they really clamp down on nothing leaking out of that set, right? There's got to be a tremendous amount of pressure on you to stay quiet.
Yeah, there is. I think that's. I don't think it's just Marvel. I think that's the same for everyone. But they, you know, it does seem to be that it's getting stamped down more and more and more. But that's why it's always difficult to say. You know, actually say, be able to say what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say. But
yeah. And then when the movie comes out, then you can say to your friends, that's me, that's me.
Yeah, exactly. It's a secret till then.
Like, yes. No, it's not. It looks like him.
How do they never show your face when you're doing these stunts, Bobby? It seems like they would have to really be careful with the camera angle so that they don't accidentally see you, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, sometimes you come across a double that is the spit of the actor they're doubling, and then that means they can, you know, shoot pretty close or wide. But we now have face replacement, you know, that's something they put black dots all over your face and you go out and they can shoot on your face and they'll just face replace. I mean, it's the technology now is insane.
Wow. That is crazy.
Kevin, you played Don Cheadle in that one movie, remember?
I did, yeah.
Stunt double, if I recall.
Yeah.
A little dodgy in some of the scenes there. all right, I mentioned right before the break that there are a lot of people listening. People are always fascinated by Hollywood, especially people who grew up in Southern California. They love the movies, want to be in the movies. Stunt doubling is something that sounds like it would be a lot of fun. You made a joke about it's actually pretty boring, but give us the real scoop, Bobby. Is it a super fun job or is it a lot of monotony and then a few seconds of excitement?
No, it is super fun. I mean, you know, saying it's boring was a joke. I mean, my background is gymnastics. That was that's all I've known as a kid. So all I've done all my life is physical performance. The one thing that I do love about stunts in films now, I used to do live shows as well, which the first two or three shows, you're still getting this adrenaline, you know, rush. But then it's the same show after that. So that kind of wears off. With stunts in films and TV commercials and stuff like that, it's new every day. So you're always having to be on your toes and it's a new challenge and it never gets boring. And I think that's the most satisfying thing for me is you blood and sweat on a movie for 7 months and then, you know, you get knocked about injured. But then once that's on film forever. And you can, you know, one day I'd like to be able to show my grandkids and say that was me doing
it. Right, and they'll say, no, it's not. It's Captain America. We can see his face.
Exactly. Yeah. And they'll say, well, show me now then, Granddad. And I'll be like, well, I can't. Yeah, so they're not going to believe you anyway. Yeah.
I have to ask about injuries. There must have been some over your career.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the general, you know, shoulder injuries or, you know, it's like back twinge or knee or ankle. But to be honest, I think I've been pretty lucky to date and I hope that touch wood continues. But yeah, we try and because the nature of the beast and what we do is so dangerous, the rehearsal period that people don't get to see is so important. I mean, we could be, for example, my rehearsal period on Avengers was 3 months. And that is to eliminate as much danger as possible. And I think the most important thing for a stunt performer is anyone, even if you're not a stunt performer, can do something once. It's about getting up and doing it again and again and again and making it look real, right, but being able to do it again. And that's what I think our specialty and what we try and do, and especially when people say to you, you know, if they know that you're doubling an actor and they know that isn't the actor, then we're not doing our job properly. We need to make it believable that it's the actor.
Is that ever a bummer to you? You ever want to get in front of the camera and say, look, I can...
No, you know what?
Not really.
Look how ugly he is. Come on. Nobody wants to look at that. Come on.
Great face for radio. No, I think I'm very lucky because I feel I have the best of both worlds. I get to go to work with these amazing people, do what I love to do as a job, and then get to go home and be myself. And I think
and
that's a really
too.
Good balance of why.
How many movies do you work on a year?
Wow, it really depends. If your core team on something and your lead double for someone, the movie could be 6 months, so even longer. I mean, The Dark Knight Rises was 9 months for me. So you may fit in two movies in a year, or, for example, if there's you've got a bit of downtime, then you may work on 6 or 7, 8, you know, movies a year where you come in and do a specific stunt for 3 or 4 days, and then you're onto the next show. So it just depends. You get that, like I said, it's never boring.
This is the voice of stuntman Bobby Holland Hampton here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about all the various movies that he's done, including some great stuff coming up. The next Alice in Wonderland movie, Tarzan, you've got coming up. You mentioned Jupiter Ascending. You've been able to work with some of the greatest directors in making films today. Chris Nolan, Steven Spielberg, Paul Greengrass, Ridley Scott. Do you have much interaction with the director themselves, or are you more special teams?
No, you do. And, you know, you just mentioned some legends, you know, and I've just worked with Ron Howard on Heart of the Sea with Chris Hemsworth again. And that was one to tick off because I've always been a huge fan of his and just such the nicest guy and a genius at what he does. You can really see that what a fantastic director he is.
There's so few people, it seems like, are a genius and the nicest people in the world.
Yeah.
He's one of the few.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's when it's you appreciate it so much. And that's, again, with Chris Hemsworth, we get on really well. And it's so nice to see someone be so good at their craft, but also just the nicest guy and one of the boys. And that's what's amazing about
it. Who's the dick?
me.
Nope. Can't use yourself. You got to be a director that you've worked with or an actor that you've represented.
I can't say.
Okay.
Of course not.
It's got to be that Ben Kingsley, right? F and Gandy. Come on. I read an article recently, and I know that there's no real comparison between stand-ins and stuntmen. I understand that. But it was an article written by a guy who was the stand-in for Bill Murray for a film. And he talked about how he was virtually ignored on set by the other actors and the directors and everything like that. They just treated him like a piece of furniture. Do you feel when you're on a movie set like you are part of the team?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I haven't had that experience, and I hope I don't. As I said, I've been very privileged to work with amazing directors, great actors, and definitely not. And I think you become a family, especially if you've been on the show for like I said, Dark Knight Rises for me, 9 months. We're pretty much one of the departments that start at the beginning, and we're right there till the end. And I think you become a family. And once the actor or the actress or the directors have that kind of rapport with you and that faith in you, you work as a team, and I think that's what amalgamates together and makes such
it seems like the amount of time is what that's the issue. You're going for 3 days, you're not really going
to
be
well exactly you're going friend. For 3 days and you're going to say hi to someone and then you're never going to see them again.
Right.
I think
right.
If you're working on the show, you do become a family.
Bobby, do you ever have to adapt your body for the actor that you're doing stunts for, either get bigger or smaller?
Yeah, I mean, I have to do that quite a lot, especially with Chris, him being naturally bigger than me anyway. I mean, I'm 6'1". I think Chris is 6'3". So when I'm doing stunts for him, I have to wear, 2-inch lifts, which is... Now I know how all the stunt girls feel in the industry while I'm doing stunts with high heels on. It's quite hard to adapt to at the beginning. But it happens all the time. And it's about... I think I'm very lucky with my gymnastic background that the muscle memory, my body kind of adapts to it very quickly. And I know what works for me, and that's what that's my go-to. I'm always fluctuating in size. But it's trial and error. When I first started to do it, I didn't know what I was really doing as far as eating and training. But over the years, I found out what works for me. Not everyone's the same, but for me, it works great. I went up to 190 pounds, I think it was, 92 kg. I'm not sure if that's the right conversion. But for Chris on Avengers... And that was probably the biggest I've ever been. And that was eating between 6 and 8 meals a day, training twice a day, protein shakes. And it's hard. I also worked on Heart of the Sea with him, and it was the opposite. We had to lose a load of weight. So eating all those meals at the time, you're like, this is great. And then about a week in, you're like, I really don't want to eat another meal at midnight. It's just, it's part of it. And I think that's the other side that people don't see as well is that's, I feel for me, that's a job in itself. The training, the diet, it's a job in itself.
Muggs, you hear that? Sometimes at midnight, you're not supposed to eat.
Yeah,
you shouldn't. You should
Muggs
try
is look. Muggs is shaking his head at you going, what do you mean you don't want to eat again at midnight? I don't even understand. All right, we're out of time. This is so fascinating. Can you give me one story from Skyfall? Just to be there while they're making a James Bond movie, as a young Brit growing up, that has to be a dream come true, right?
Yeah, my first ever job was stunt doubling Daniel Craig. I was 23 on Quantum of Solace. And certainly that is a dream come true. And then I privileged to work on Skyfall as well. But Javier Bardem for me he's genius. I put his performance in Skyfall up there with Heath Ledger's in The Dark Knight. I think it was that good.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It was incredible.
And you were there on set to see it happen. I mean, you just must have – I hope you have a good memory, Bobby, because you just have so many things that you've been able to see in person throughout your career.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that because I land on my head for a living, I can't remember anything.
All right.
I was afraid of that.
Excellent. That's good news.
Well, it's great to meet you. Congratulations on all your success. And it's just fascinating, the life that you lead. And I hope our listeners enjoyed it as well. You can follow Bobby on Twitter at Bobby Hanton. And the website is BobbyHollandHanton.com. Please come back and see us anytime, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I don't know. I think it sounds more like sirens than part of that music. Weezer, by the way, will be performing live on this program this week. How about that? Friday.
Friday morning.
Right, we got it.
Very excited.
Woo!
Plus, Plus, we premiered Lord's brand new song from the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 soundtrack. That's coming up right
after
the top of
the hour. Hungry.
It could sound like that. I don't know, Ralph. It could.
You're a Jay who is mocking. You're a Mockingjay. Is that okay?
I don't think so, but we'll play it.
Right. We'll be finding out. We'll talk to Lord about it as well. Ralph is here now, type of the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
And your name is Katniss. It's a real strange name.
I believe she may have written a different song for this particular part.
Those all were different songs,
all right,
as far as I was concerned. Hey, while we're talking about movies, exciting news over the weekend at the Nashville Comic Con. Not as good as the Long Beach Comic Con. Because
you weren't there.
That's what I'm saying. But Nashville had other high-powered superstars there.
Does every city have a Comic Con?
These days,
if they're smart, they
more
do.
More or less. Nashville's Comic-Con was attended by a gentleman named, William Shatner, apparently.
Yeah!
Oh, how about that?
And so this weekend he was talking to his fans, and he dropped a little morsel saying that it looks like he and Leonard Nimoy are going to return on screen as Kirk and Spock for the next Star Trek film.
Really?
Now, I know it's science fiction, and you can easily get around people who are dead or people who live hundreds of years apart, but how do you think they might make that work, Ralph?
Well, listen up. You have to remember the rebooted Star Trek, what the basic premise of that first film was.
Remind us.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, you bastard.
Seriously.
Spock, Leonard Nimoy,
right,
goes into a past alternate timeline.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I remember that.
Leonard Nimoy has lived his entire life. All the Star Trek episodes and all the movies that we know with William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy have existed. But in order to save the planet of Vulcan, Spock has to go back in time and reboots the timeline with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto. So they go off and have tangential separate adventures as Kirk and Spock.
Okay.
And he talks to him. He interacts with him at the end. Remember? It's like Spock talking to Spock.
Sure.
So any of this ringing a bell.
So all of
Sounds
those
like
things.
Fringe. That's all I know.
All of those things exist at the same time in alternate timelines.
Yes.
So it's easy peasy to go back and forth
between
the two.
So as long as we have some sort of time travel element to the storyline, Spock and Kirk together again would be able to happen at
some
point.
Easy peasy.
It would be easy peasy.
Right, okay.
Lemon squeezy. Don't forget the lemon squeezy. Because you can have the easy and the peasy.
Right.
But if you don't get the lemon squeezy in there, then forget about it. The whole recipe is just ruined.
Well, I'm in on the next Star Trek anyway, but I'm even more in now. I think that sounds awesome.
Kong! That's where it happened.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
At the Nashville Comic Con! Tom Selleck giving out advice in GQ magazine this week about how to grow the perfect mustache.
Well, he would know.
He would know. He's got an awesome mustache. Not as awesome as mine, but still a very good mustache. You know who has a crappy mustache? Beer Mug. Beer Mug has a crappy mustache. It's crappy.
It's not really a mustache.
It's Bieber-esque is what it is.
Bieber-esque? I have way more hair than Bieber.
The whole package doesn't work for me.
Well, that's true. Maybe it's not the mustache. Maybe what it's attached to is what really bugs me. Sella gives you this advice. Go through puberty.
Okay.
Is that A? Is there B?
He's giving advice to 8-year-olds? Not a girl with a mustache?
The rest he says is just genetics. You got to be blessed. Not much advice really from Tom Selleck.
No.
He says either you got it or you don't. All right, don't get cocky about your mustache, Selleck, all right? You're on Blue Bloods, for God's sakes.
I have to say, though,
I love the Blah Bloods.
On the Kevin and Bean Show,
Ralph Sanchez's favorite show.
Ralph does win in the mustache department.
I can't crank out one.
You have proven from your westerns that you can grow a mustache. A
couple weeks, I can crank one out. That's for sure. You saw A Million Ways to Die in the West. You saw my mustache in its full glory. Sadly,
did it have its own trailer?
It did. Yeah, I had a two banger, as they say in the business. One for me, and then next door the mustache.
Sure. Over.
It's Monday. Let's talk about the top 10 movies in the box office real quickly. Equalizer, number one, $35 million. Maze Runner came in at second with $17.5 million. $17.3 million is what Box Troll made. That made it number three. This is Where I Leave You and Dolphin Tale 2 were the top five movies at the box office. No Good Deed, A Walk Among the Tombstones, Guardians of Galaxy at number 8, Let's Be Cops, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at number 10, rounding out the list for this weekend. Celebrity birthdays, singer Jerry Lee Lewis, The Killer, 79 years old today. Sad he doesn't get to host that telethon anymore on Labor Day weekend.
That's Jerry Lewis.
Ian McShane is 72. Brian Gumble, 66. Andrew Dice Clay is 57. Les Claypool is 51. And Zachary Levi celebrates his 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 comes out November 21st, and that is Lord with a song from that movie. It's called Yellow Flicker Beat.
I like that, but you know the problem, Kevin?
What?
Is that we've just heard this wonderful new Lord song called Yellow Flicker Beat. We'll never know what that means because we'll probably never get to talk to Lord again. I feel like that it's just going to be a mystery till
Lord
the day I die.
Lord is on the phone right now.
Just my whole life I'll be going, what is Yellow Flicker Beat? What can it mean? Why don't I know?
Lord is on the phone right now.
What?
And
hi,
ask,
Lord.
You can ask
how
yourself.
You doing?
We're good.
Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you so much. I have to say, the last time we spoke, I actually listened back to our interview. I sound like the grumpiest teen.
No, not at all.
I was mumbling. I was extremely unintelligible. It was my first time in America. I was extremely sleepy.
Yeah, I was just going to remind you, you had literally been in America 2 days and had already performed in New York City, flew across country, got up in the middle of the damn night to come in and play on our show. So you are forgiven to be a little jet lagged and hungover that day. So,
okay, all right. I'm glad we cleared that up.
No worries. Well, you have been very busy since that last time that we talked to you. And let's start with the big news. We just played the song for the first time here, Yellow Flicker Beat.
Ooh.
I know that a lot of songwriters don't like to give too much away, but what can you tell us about what this is all about and how much does it have to do with the movie in which it appears?
Basically, I wrote the song like specifically for the movie. It wasn't something that I had a draft of previously. I reread the books, and I just wanted to tap into everything that Katniss is feeling in that film and, like, all of the crazy stuff that goes on. One of the things that happens in the book, which to me felt like this crazy turning point, was her best friend Peter tries to kill her. He's been brainwashed, and he tries to strangle her. It just felt like something so kind of irreparable and something that the characters couldn't turn back from, and I felt like Katniss was like, okay, I'm taking names. I'm coming for blood. Like, this is it. You know, you don't do these types of things to my friends and my family and get away with it. So I just wanted to make something really kind of dark and haunting and then, like, this really, like, epic kind of anthemic.
Is that a different process? Is it a more difficult process to write than you normally do? I mean, normally you write songs about whatever you want to write about. Now you're writing about this particular copy.
Totally. And it's, like, it's weird because everything that the character could think or feel is already kind of laid out for you in the book. You can't take that many leaps in case it, you know, becomes your song and not their song. So, you know, it was about, like, keeping in that mindset and just thinking about what would Katniss do. But she's such an awesome character to write for, and I felt like it was just, like, an awesome experience, and it couldn't have been a better character to write from the perspective of.
It is an awesome character, and I mean, one of the reasons that we, you know, the Hunger Games books are one thing, the movies are another, and part of the reason people love them so much is just the way Jennifer Lawrence plays her.
Oh my
God. You're just in awe of how sharp she is and
she's
how much
so good.
Yeah,
she's
what
so
she
good.
Does under pressure. I mean, it's almost unlike any other kind of, especially female hero that we've seen in the movies.
And it just, like, it made it really easy for me to write as well, you know. Jen did such an incredible job portraying that character that it, like, you know, I felt like the Katniss that you see on paper and the Katniss that you see in the film actually are two different, you know, it's a step above because of what Jen adds to that.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking to Lord, by the way, about the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1. The movie, I believe, I want to say, comes out on the 21st, the soundtrack a few days before that. And your song is just one of the songs on the soundtrack that you had a say in. We understand that this is kind of your baby.
You're right. This is my baby. I got approached to curate the soundtrack a few months ago, and I was like, okay, this sounds super fun but super hard, which was pretty accurate. It's been a, like, crazy process, super intense.
Have you ever done anything like that before?
No way. Because, like, you know, no one gives, like, some random 17-year-old from New Zealand the opportunity to, like, soundtrack a major motion picture.
Well, when you put it that way, it's unlikely they'll ever do it again.
All right, it's just the Hunger Games, and you're in charge of one of the movie's music, so go.
Yeah, no, it's been very cool, and I'm so glad that I've had the opportunity. I've, like, made heaps of friends from it and, like, been able to work with people I may not have otherwise, so, yeah, I'm excited about it.
Have you made enemies, people that really wanted to be on the soundtrack and you wouldn't let them
in? I hope not.
How many songs did you pick that are in the movie versus on the soundtrack?
Oh, the movie doesn't actually have, like, modern music in it. It's just, it's all score, so... So everything that I've done is kind of an accompaniment to what you see in the film. You know, then you go get the soundtrack and, you know, listen to it and stay in that world.
So this is like, I remember the first movie and the first soundtrack had your BFF, Taylor Swift. She had her Safe and Sound song over the closing credits. Is that where we're going to hear your song in this movie?
I believe it is, yes.
Did you call her, by the way, since we know she's a Hunger Games fan and you guys are friends? Is she someone you thought about for the soundtrack?
Well, I think once you've done it, you've, like, kind of done it. I mean, I would have, you know, the song was so amazing. That was so, like, so inspiring for me to get to listen to that before I took on the project. But, no, she's got her own thing coming out.
Who can you tell us is on the soundtrack? Because that's something that has remained a little bit of a mystery.
I kind of feel like it doesn't come out for a couple months. I should probably keep it a secret for a little bit longer. But I will say that I think what's cool about what we've done is how diverse it is. We have people who are, like, super new and just coming out and who I think are really talented and just kind of need that, like, you know, that shot, that exposure. We have, you know, legends who, like, I almost fainted getting to talk on the phone to. We have, you know, like, it's diverse.
And
I think,
and,
like,
some of the names are...
and some of the names are going to be revealed soon.
Nice try, though, Kevin. Nice try.
So I thought I could trick her.
So all of this is November, the movie and the soundtrack, and you are also turning 18 in November. Does that have any significance to you at all in terms of something that you're looking forward to or think you might want to do?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I'm like, it definitely feels like quite a milestone. I think I'm going to be at home in New Zealand for that, which will be nice to kind of celebrate that with family and friends, because my last birthday was in New York, which was, you know, fun too. But it feels like, it seems crazy that this has been the last 2 years of my life. It's just been like thinking about absolutely nothing but, you know, this and like,
you've accomplished more in the last 2 years of your life than my entire life.
No.
And that's not cool.
You guys are legends.
Yeah, right. We're talking to Lord here on the Kevin Bean Show, and of course we just played the new song from the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 soundtrack. It's called Yellow Flicker Beat. We'll be playing it again. You'll be hearing it a lot on K-Rock in the months and years to come for sure. But Lord is also coming to town. She's going to be here in October at the Greek for two shows on the 6th. Only single tickets remain for that, and some tickets are still available in pairs on the 7th. You can buy those tickets at Ticketmaster.com for Greek Theater and Lord. This is awesome. I don't know if they ran this by you, Lord, but I can't believe we're about to give this away. We're giving away a pair of tickets to your show on the Greek on the 6th right now, plus a meet and greet with you. Kevin and Bean listeners are going to be in your inner circle, and they're going to get a chance to meet, shake your hand, get a photo taken with you, and I hope that doesn't scare you off.
Oh, no, I love it. I like, it's funny because when I do meet and greets, I take a really long time because I just love talking to people, and the, you know, people organizing the meet and greet are like, okay, hurry up. I'm like, no, just give me one.
So let's go to the phones right now, 1-800-520-1067, caller 20. It's great to talk to you and hear how much you're enjoying this ride that you're on, and you're just not laying flat on a floor somewhere, just crushed by the weight of your new responsibilities. It seems like you're really happy right now, Lord.
I am. I'm so stoked that, like, I don't know, that people feel comfortable giving me these responsibilities, and it helps me to grow, and it helps me to, you know, it gives me different experiences that I just wouldn't have. So, you know, I'm so happy. It's so awesome. I'm so lucky.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for letting us play the song. Thank you so much for getting up early and talking to us, and I hope we
no
get
worries.
A chance to do it again soon. You're the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kumho Tire, the official tire of the NBA. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
How do you use the official tire of the NBA? How does that work?
I didn't make the deal. I don't know.
Why does the NBA need an official tire?
I don't know.
Right. Now, do you think that's what they put on the team buses that go back and forth from, you know, practice to games and stuff like that?
I can't imagine. I don't know.
That could be.
That's a good catch, though.
Everything now.
Good catch. Hey, we just talked to Lord. She is delightful. And again, I remind you, she's 17, by the way, and so much more articulate and smarter and more together and obviously more talented than we are. It's just insane every time we have her on.
That song was great, too.
Song's really good. And you can hear the song again and also hear the interview. It is already up for you at krock.com or kevinandbean.com if you want to check it out. And we'll be playing the song again on the radio here again in just a few minutes. First, though, controversy, you guys, in Ontario involving a Southern California woman who worked at a real estate office until this story hit the news. She's also running for the Fontana City Council. But it's what she pulled over her car to say to someone in her neighborhood that got her in trouble. Here's the report.
A confrontation over a Mexican flag in one family's front yard is stirring up raw emotions in Ontario. It prompted one local activist to post a video. KCAL 9 Inland Empire reporter Tom Waite spoke with her and the homeowner.
Hi, is that a Mexican flag in your front yard?
That's the voice of a local IE political activist confronting a woman for flying the Mexican flag in her front yard.
Now, bear in mind, she took this video. She considers herself a political activist, and she posted it on the internet. And that's the video that got her fired from her job.
Love it.
What an idiot.
Right?
Love it.
Oh, my God.
The confrontation was shot on a smartphone and posted to YouTube.
You know we live in America, right? This is the United States. So why are you flying a Mexican flag in your front yard?
When I hear that woman's voice on that tape, it gets me so angry. I want to force her to move to Mexico. I really do. Does she not understand that we live in the United States of America? And part of what's great about living in this country is that you have the freedom of expression and the freedom of speech to be able to fly whatever flag you want to fly in your neighborhood.
Did she? I think you told me they also had an American flag. Is that true?
In this particular case, it is, and we'll get to that in the tape. But I don't think that matters to her. I think what made her blood boil is that these people are living in the United States and they have a Mexican flag.
Huh.
Why would you be so upset with that?
I don't know.
Don't most people honor their heritage?
In a variety of ways.
Yeah, I would absolutely. I would drive past that. I would think nothing of it.
No.
Nothing of it at all. And by the way, I know this is a hot button issue because I can see, not that you can, you know, base the worldview on internet comments, but there are an awful lot of people that are supporting this woman and agree with this woman that it is disrespectful and unpatriotic to be in one country and fly a flag from another country. And we'd love to talk to you. And I promise we'll be nice if you call us at 1-800-520-1067. If you feel that way, if it drives you crazy to see Mexican flags or flags from another nation in the United States, we want to hear from you. But let's hear more from the report.
Dean is promising to be nice. I can't make that promise.
The woman being confronted does not speak English and can't understand the questions.
This is America. Maybe you can move to Mexico.
Again, I want so much death on this woman. She's standing there berating a woman who doesn't speak English. And at some point early in this conversation, she has to recognize that this person isn't tracking with what she's saying, right?
Of course.
But she keeps going because she's on her goddamn high horse.
If you want to fly your Mexican flag, does that make sense?
I don't think it's offending because this flag doesn't do anything.
All right, so this is her husband. He says, I don't think it's offensive because the flag isn't doing anything. This is the husband of the man whose wife was home when she was confronted by the lady in the video.
That's accurate. That flag is not doing anything.
Yeah.
It is not attacking anyone.
It was Sigifredo Benuelos' wife who was in the window during the confrontation. He says his wife was caught off guard. Benuelos says the family never meant to offend, but instead to celebrate their Mexican heritage. And he says the family keeps both a U.S. and Mexican flag flying.
Now, does that make a difference to you, Kevin?
No, it doesn't. But I think it would make a big difference to a lot of people, including including this person that is
hating
on
him. You would think, and yet it made no difference.
It didn't make any to her, but I think it would go a long way to help people feel better if they knew there was both. Okay, fine. But even if there's not, by the way, this is ridiculous.
How much of this do you guys think is this woman that we're talking about, Tressie Capps, do you think that she has anger and rage boiling up in general over immigration issues, over she hears too much Spanish in her life, over...
I would think that's all true.
Yeah, I was going to say yes.
So this is really, this is just the straw that broke the camel's back for her, is it was just one too many things in her life that weren't USA, USA.
Right. I hope she has with 10 flags in her yard.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say whether she's flying American flags or not.
We decided to put one is flag, one American and one Mexican.
I was offended, like I said, and I was pretty upset, but I couldn't understand her.
This is Tressie Capps, the woman whose voice you heard during the confrontation. Capps says she's received threats since the clip was posted and went viral. Capps says she's not a racist, just a patriot.
I don't understand what all the hatred is about, why everyone is labeling me these names, racist. You know, I don't understand why everyone's so angry.
Because if you're a patriot, then, as I mentioned, you recognize that you have the right of free speech in the United States of America, and you celebrate that right, that you can live in a country where somebody can fly a Mexican flag, and it's cool.
We don't understand what all your anger is about, lady.
Yeah.
How about that?
Let's talk to Chase real quick. He's on line one. He's going to get us going here in Bray. And we're taking your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. Particularly if you agree with Tressie, if you think it's uncool to be flying a Mexican flag in your front yard of your home. Welcome, Chase. What's going on?
Morning, Lisa May. Morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hey, Chase.
Hey, just like you said, I don't have anything different to say. This is the United States. That's her flag. That's her house. She can fly whatever she wants here. This isn't... I mean, we see videos of Iraq, Afghanistan, people going house to house with guns, trying to figure out, you know, what religion do you preach, and questioning these people and put them on trial right there. And, hey, we don't do that here. And that's why we don't.
So, that's right. That's right.
I kind of like to see an American flag up there, too. But, hey, if she doesn't, that's hers. And, you know, she can do whatever she
wants.
That's
her right, yeah.
And in this case, she even did have an American flag, which, I mean, I don't see how anyone can find fault with that. I just don't. Thank you, Chase. We appreciate the call. We got to take a quick break. We want your calls next at 1-800-520-1067. What say you? We'll talk to you coming up on the Kevin.
Never get tired of that song. The song rules. Can I hear that again, Bean?
No.
All right. It's the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 9.
You know we live in America, right? This is the United States, so why are you flying your Mexican flag in your front yard? Those are the words that came out of a video that has gone viral by an Ontario woman named Tressie Capps. She is a political activist, she says. She's also running for the Fontana City Council. By the way, she lost her job as a working in a real estate company, and I'm not sure that I agree with that. I don't think you have to agree with everything that somebody thinks that works for you.
But you are representing a company.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why. I think she's dead wrong on this, but I was surprised that she lost her job. We're taking your calls if you agree with her that people should not be flying flags from other countries here in America at 1-800-520-1067. We'll go right back to your calls. Omar writes in, hey, Chucklehead, so if there are people out there that have a problem with the Mexican flag, where does it stop? Can I have some tamales in the U.S.? How about a burrito? Yo quiero Taco Bell? Fire beer mug. I don't think anyone's tried to outlaw Mexican food, Omar.
No.
Jorge writes in, people should be able to fly any flag at their home freely unless it's a Raiders flag. I got to agree with that, too, by the way. Think those people more of a danger to us than anybody else. All right, let's try, how about Carrie in Long Beach to get us going? She's on line four.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, guys. Lisa, how you doing?
I'm good.
Mexican flag in the front lawn. What do you think?
All right. So I totally agree what you guys are saying. That being said, I am Mexican. My grandparents were from Mexico, but they were proud to be American. They learned English. They went for the American dream because that's why... They came from Mexico here because Mexico, you know, could suck other than the vacation spots.
Right.
And so I get where she's coming from. It's kind of biting the hand that feeds you type of thing. And if you take it deep for what it is, yeah, you know, we have the freedoms to fly a flag, you know, whatever. But, you know, the symbolism behind the American flag, and if they want to take it red state deep, you know, I could see how she could be offended. You know, my family, like I said, you know,
but
we
Carrie,
are Mexican. We
Carrie.
Have tamales at Christmas and all
Carrie.
Of that. But we're not going to, like, you know,
your family's been here.
On Cinco de Mayo, but...
First of all, there are no Mexicans named Carrie. First of all, let me just say that. You claim that you're Mexican, but your name is Carrie, so you no longer can be Mexican. But what about, like, I was born in
in England, okay? If I flew a British flag in my front yard, because that's my heritage.
You should move there.
Would that bother you? Would that upset you? Kerry? I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I think people get more upset because, like I said earlier, because I think they feel like, hey, this is Southern California. And I think what's coming out here is thinly veiled racism. I think it's I'm being encroached upon by all of these Mexicans, and I don't like it being rubbed in my face. I think that's what it is. What about Kevin's got German heritage? Well, don't fly a German flag.
You don't do that. How dare you? I thought I did for most of my life.
What about it's somebody wrong. Who's they have an Irish background, a Norwegian background? I bet people wouldn't say a peep about those flags. I think it has to do with Mexico.
Let's go to Will in Santa Ana. He's got an interesting viewpoint. Hi, Will.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Will.
Hi. Mine was that I am a disabled veteran, actually, and I fought and did everything I could for this country. And one of the things that when I came back, I was actually kind of proud of after seeing, like, horrible wrongs. I'm proud that we can fly other countries' flags and there's no consequence.
So seeing that Mexican flag in that woman's front yard makes you happy because that's what you fought to make to keep.
Make possible, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I don't come back and, somebody's burning a flag, somebody's flying this flag. It's kind of a thing of honor that, wow, I fought for something that we have that no other place in the world has.
That's an interesting perspective. Thank you for calling and thank you for your service. We very much appreciate it. Let's go to Candace. She's in Torrance. She's on line one. She's got a differing opinion.
Hi, Candace.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to comment when you had said that it will make a difference if somebody flies the United States flag along with another flag.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I personally feel it does make a big difference. We always have a United States flag out. My husband is Mexican-American, and we don't fly any other flag but the United States flag, but in our neighborhood, pretty much most of the people, if they fly a flag, it's both.
Okay.
And I do think that makes a big difference.
So wait, does both bother you?
Do both bother me? No.
Okay. But if the American flag is missing and there's just a Mexican flag, that bothers you?
That does kind of bother me because, to me, I'm proud of my country, and I think it's the best country in the world. And if you're here, I do think you should pay a little bit of respect to the country.
All right.
Well, I don't see it as disrespecting the U.S. I mean, they probably have family in Mexico. They still root for their soccer team.
That's got to be hard.
The
soccer team sucks,
deal.
So probably not.
That's got to be really hard to root for that soccer team. All right, we appreciate the call, Candace. I will say, and Steve points this out on the email also, and this is worth remembering if you're a dual flagger. My only issue when I see a flag from another country is that when they fly that other flag above the American flag, to me that shows a lot of disrespect to the American flag because that is, that is flag rules in this country is if you're flying another flag, the American flag is supposed to be higher. And I think that's fair, and I think that's worth. But again, we live in a free society where if somebody chooses not to do that, that's their right. You don't go up to their front door and scream at them,
unless you want
in a language they don't understand.
Right. Exactly.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
I believe she may have written a different song for this particular.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I didn't even hear that one.
I didn't either.
That. I'm glad someone did.
Muggs was very happy. He's like, oh, I think we got a new moment. So I was like,
hit me with that one more time.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
I believe she may have written a different song for this particular.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I think I lost interest in my own sentence.
Pretty strong. Perfect. That reminds me of a. The pride of a picture. Remember that one they were talking about?
That's the other one where I just.
We were talking about Dave
died
showing
off.
Up at some event or something. The pride of a picture of you up there and just. And they just kind of went off into another world.
I don't know.
Any
exactly
idea what I'm talking about, Mugs?
Yeah,
with that
no,
one?
I do. I just don't know what it's labeled.
He's looking.
Yeah, I don't know what it's labeled either. I don't know how you would even label something like that. There's very little English in there that you could recognize.
How dare you?
Probably have a picture up there, and it's
just Sentinels or something.
Yeah, that's it.
What Sentinels?
Something like that. You got it?
Got it.
Oh, good man.
It's loading. Here we go.
All right, here we go.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
I'll probably have his picture there with a Sentinel.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Yeah, that was it.
All right.
Good stuff.
Good times.
All right.
All right.
Good times.
Loving it.
Today is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do with the Showbiz Beat. Equalizer, no surprise, Denzel Washington. People show up to see him every time he's in a movie. $35 million made it number one in his debut. Kevin saw it and went...
Look, Denzel Washington kicking ass is awesome, and I love that part of it.
19 seconds.
There's really not much else in it.
You don't know,
you
man.
Don't know
his, you don't know.
You don't know his backstory. You don't know anything about...
Well, he's obviously got a military background,
the kid's
right?
Implied, but
what more do you need? You don't need to know what that back is. He was a kick-asser, and then he said, I'm not going to do that anymore, and then he was forced to get back into the ass-kicking line of work.
Right.
All you need to know.
All right, and on that level, it was fine, but I'm saying you don't care about him. You don't care about him
at all. I care about him deeply.
You lie, sir.
Since when do you care about backstory and characters, Kevin?
Right. Look, if it stands out to me, am I the only one that... What are they saying in the reviews about this movie?
I don't know, man. We're asking you about your review.
I'm telling you, it was great action.
Look around and say, oh, who's with me, fellas? Stand on your own 2 feet and say something.
It was great action, and when there wasn't great action on the screen, it fell apart.
You don't know,
I didn't care.
That's what I heard.
I'm just saying you don't know.
Thank you, Lisa.
I heard that, yes.
Lisa heard that.
She heard somebody else.
A review.
Well, you know, I heard from somebody. They said it was great, and the backstory was wonderful.
It was three critics that were talking, and they agreed with you.
Wow.
Critics are nerds.
Film critics.
Critics are
listen,
nerds.
I write off critics, too, unless they support me.
And right. then they're geniuses.
Yeah,
they're geniuses. I'm probably having a new song about the girls.
But I will say this, though. In Kevin's defense, if you love an actor as much as we all love Denzel Washington, you can pretty much watch him do anything. He's just fun to watch.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
It's enough. Be nice if there's more, but if there's not, oh, well, you still got your money's worth.
My man.
Mom.
Did he say that at any point?
He did not.
Oh. Equalizer made $35 million. The Maze Runner, $17.5 million. The Box Trolls, in its debut, did very well with $17.3 million, making it number three. This Is Where I Leave You was fourth. Dolphin Tale 2 was number five. No Good Deed, A Walk Among the Tombstones, Guardians of the Galaxy, Let's Be Cops, and then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles rounded out the top 10 movies at the box office. Congratulations to the Gray Fox. George Clooney and his lovely bride, Amal Alamuddin, got married at the Amman Canal Grand Venice on Saturday in front of a lot of big superstar friends. They all came out to support George and his bride. Ceremony started at 8 p.m. It was over at 8:18.
Wow. That's awesome.
They have a college football game to watch or something?
No,
that's amazing.
They didn't want to linger. They didn't want a long, awesome. Lingering ceremony. They wrote their own vows, and they said, I love you. You want to? Yeah, me too. Okay, let's do it.
They have an auctioneer up there
out.
Doing it?
Out. On with the party. Five-course dinner. Lobster, risotto, sea bass, beef, canapes, champagne. Clooney invented his own cocktail for the big day. Everybody was guzzling those around 5 a.m. The party finally broke up.
Ralph, permit me to play one of our favorite Kevin Amin drops that we're never going to be able to play again for the last time.
Clooney, you smug bastard. Stop playing basketball and get married like the rest of us.
That's right.
Hate to have to retire that, but I guess it's time.
He might have to erase something. From
no, he's not going to erase it.
Giant bank of audio.
He said retire.
I'm going to hold on to that. You never know when I might need it. Because
hey,
there might be a Clooney basketball story after he gets divorced. And we might have to work that back into rotation.
I know you suggested, Ralph, that one day we should go through and see what marbles are on this machine.
I think maybe we should clean house a little bit.
A little spring, fall, spring cleaning? No, fall. It's fall. Whatever kind of cleaning we need to do. Bean has 10,000 too many drops, so we
but
do need to go through.
But what's the downside of hanging on to them, just in case?
Because you'll never use 90% of them.
I would imagine you haven't used most of what you have.
Yes, that is actually true.
That is actually
okay,
true.
Okay, well.
So clean it up. Hoarder? Sound hoarder?
He's a sound hoarder. That's right.
Well, it's good that we had that Clooney one more time, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure was.
People wouldn't have been able to start their week if they hadn't heard that.
That you had to set up. You had to
by
start saying, it by
it's,
saying
it's not relevant
not
any
relevant.
Longer.
Nine!
That was a mistake.
Nine!
That's I just going crazy now.
Hey, imagine that. Hitler's going crazy. You know who wasn't at the big wedding this weekend? Jennifer Lopez. which surprises me because they're buddies because they did that movie together, Out of Sight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's I forgot about that movie. That was a good movie, too, right?
A great movie.
I love that film. Steven Soderbergh.
Was there enough backstory for you in their characters, Kevin?
I like that one.
I did. I understood where they were coming from and what they've done before.
Sometimes I don't like you guys.
She was driving Saturday, and she got rear-ended. You could just fill in your own joke there, right? Jennifer Lopez got rear-ended?
Sure.
Okay. She was with her best friend, Leah Remini. They were in the car together, and allegedly a drunk driver ran into her at a spotlight, a stoplight. No one was hurt, but Jennifer reportedly got her Bronx up, as they say, and started going off on the person.
Oh, is that right?
Her kids were in the back seat and all, and you know, you get protective when your kids are involved. But yeah, there were a few words exchanged, but apparently everybody's okay.
Do you think maybe the place where George Clooney and his wife had their ceremony was too small and they had already invited so many other stars that perhaps J-Lo just didn't make the cut this time around? Or
nope. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Spencer Evers.
Zachary Levi is 34 years old today. Les Claypool, Primus singer, is 51. Andrew Dice Clay turns 57 years old today. Brian Gumbel, 66. Actor Ian McShane, he is 72. And singer Jerry Lee Lewis, the killer, 79 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lord on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That is the song that's going to be in the Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to Lord about an hour ago, and that's up at kevinandbean.com if you want to listen to it.
Yeah, you should. You can hear the song there, and you can also listen to the interview. And we gave away tickets to a listener to go to that Greek show in October and also meet Lord backstage. And she talked a lot about the soundtrack, and she's just awesome, and we love her. Somebody else who's awesome that we love is our friend Andrew Siciliano. He is one of the hosts of Around the NFL on the NFL Network, Monday through Fridays at 3, and, of course, the DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays. Andrew, the world wants to know, do we have a new streak? Did you go the entire Red Zone broadcast yesterday without having to get up and go pee?
Yes. Good morning, guys. I held it.
Ladies and gentlemen, one. Yeah. The streak is at one right now.
I got to be honest. I'm a little weirded out by how much Bean cares about your peeing.
You should see my Twitter feed.
It's a little nutty.
It's all anybody cares about. Because
it's the only question I usually get if stopped in a bar or some kind of establishment in public is, when do you urinate?
Sure. I remember going back 3 years or something like that when Ralph Garman walked into the studio and said, you guys have got to see this guy on the Red Zone, Andrew Siciliano. He does and explained what the Red Zone is all about. And he said he's there for the entire day. He never leaves the desk. And all we kept thinking is, how does he do it? And now we know you're just superhuman.
I pace endlessly, and sometimes I need to take rash measures, but, you know, whatever.
All right, let's hit a couple of games, Andrew, because once again, as you always say, it's the greatest reality show on earth, the NFL weekend number 4 just behind us. I'll start with this. Will the Oakland Raiders win a game this season?
They will win a game. I think the better question is, will they fire their coach? And they are 0-4, that is the time historically, heading into a bye week, because the Raiders do have next week off, that you fire your coach. They were in London yesterday, and they lost, in embarrassing fashion. And there was actually a report by a writer in the Bay Area, an Associated Press writer with a real verified Twitter account, that he had been fired, Dennis Allen had been, last night in London, or maybe even somewhere over the Atlantic. That, however, has been retracted and is unsubstantiated.
That's too bad. It would have been funny if they went to him and said, get your own flight home.
Right. Well, believe me, Tim Brown, soon to be hopefully one day Hall of Fame receiver, Tim Brown said last week in an interview on NFL Network that if they don't win this game, then they have to find their own flights back home 5,000 miles.
Wow.
So they lost, and they lost badly.
Yeah.
So, and you pointed out on your Twitter that Lane Kiffin was fired with a better record than the coach has now, right?
Lane Kiffin won 5 out of 20 games, so 25%. Dennis Allen, I believe, has won like 8 out of 30, something like that. Hold on, 32, so he's 36.
Yeah.
36, he's won 8 out of 36.
Not good. I almost feel like I could do better than that.
Well, let's not get crazy.
You might be able to. I mean, the funny thing is that Dennis Allen is really well respected, and when the Raiders got him as a young head coach, a lot of people, as I switch off the Bluetooth here, that were really, really positive about him. But it hasn't worked. Look, I said it last week. They have the oldest roster in the NFL. To get better, you're supposed to tear it down.
That's
not
right.
Just build junk on top of the heap that you already had.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's turn our attention to another game this weekend, which was one of the marquee matchups for the weekend, and that was the 49ers. It was looked at like a must-win for them, and the Philadelphia Eagles, who can afford to lose one, it delivered. It was a very exciting game, huh?
It was, and we learned this about the Philadelphia Eagles, is that they can't run the ball, which is just absurd. I mean, LeSean McCoy said he's going to run for 2,000 yards. Where's Ralph on this? He's going to run for 2,000 yards. They can't run, and they can't stop the run. And this game, kind of for the Niners, I don't want to say one game in September is a referendum on the entire season, but they've been to three straight NFC Championship games. They had a Super Bowl appearance mixed in there as well. And this was the week in which everyone called them out. They're done. They're finished. They're old. It's a crisis. Jim Harbaugh is going to leave and coach the University of Michigan. That was the story all week.
Right,
and by the way,
right.
That story is not going to go away because Brady Hoke is in all likelihood fired at Michigan, especially when it seems pretty apparent he left a quarterback in with a concussion on Saturday.
Wow.
And the kid was wobbling around. You have the student newspaper now calling for the coach to be fired at Michigan.
Wow.
But I digress. The Niners went out there and they almost gave it away at the end. I mean, they tried really, really hard to give the game away at the end. But they didn't.
You made a joke on Twitter about how old Frank Gore is. I mean, he looked great yesterday. How old is he really, though? He's not 50, okay. Obviously. What is he really?
No, he's 31, I believe. And he's not technically the oldest running back in the NFL. That's Fred Jackson of the Bills, who's 32 or 3. But there are only three running backs in the history of the National Football League that have ever run for 1,000 yards when they started the season at age 31.
Wow.
So like this old, that people say, well, Adrian Peterson will be back next year with the Vikings. No, he won't. He'll be 30, and he'll make $12.75 million. And I know that he is superhuman, and he probably can only be defeated by kryptonite or the Texas legal system. However, at 30 years old, you simply stop producing it. It's a fact. Other than Frank Gore and maybe Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And Frank Gore has proven it, that he could still play.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, I guess this is something we always need to keep in mind, and you see it every day in and day out with your work with the NFL, Andrew, is that these careers are so short. I mean, it's hard to imagine how washed up you can be at 30, 31, 32 years old, but that's the game.
And listen, there is, and I'm not trying to take this into the off-the-field negative stuff that the league has certainly dealt with the last 3 weeks and will continue to deal with moving forward here. But that's why when people say, well, I don't care if the allegation is true, whatever the allegation is, whether it's petty crime or violent crime,
right,
take him off the field. Well, when your lifespan in this league is only 3 years, no, don't worry. Wait 18 months until we figure out that you're really innocent. Now, not everyone is innocent. Not everyone is guilty. But
is that, you know, stat that your life expectancy in the NFL is really only 3 years?
It's about 3.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brutal.
So if I take you out for 1.5 years,
right?
And listen, this is a far wide. It's obviously a much deeper conversation than this. But I'm just throwing in this one little thing. This is also something to consider.
Absolutely, it could be half your playing career. Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Could be half your playing career.
Did you see, this is the voice of Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin Bean Show. He, of course, the host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network this afternoon at 3 and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Did you see Snoop Dogg's video that he put up last night with his disgust over watching the Steelers lose to Tampa Bay?
I did not, but I heard or I saw on Twitter that evidently he is angry.
Let me play it for you and for our audience here.
40 seconds left, man. Steelers f***ing getting on my f***ing nerves. Weak ass offensive coordinator couldn't even get 10 yards, man. What the f is worse right now, being a f-ing Cowboy fan, f-ing Raider fan, or f-ing Steeler fan? I'm gonna start watching soccer and tennis. Sorry, mother.
I'm going to start watching soccer and tennis, Snoop says.
I never thought I'd say this, but I think he needs a hit.
Again,
how bad is it for the Steelers?
Well, I would say there's so many things I could say. The number one, the Cowboys actually won, so he made that before the Cowboys pulled out.
Yeah, that's right. It was before last night's game, right.
Right. Number two, the Steelers are averaging like 450 yards offensively. So statistically, he's absolutely wrong about the Steelers' offense. What he is right about is that they couldn't get 10 yards at the end of the game and protect the lead and not give the ball back to the Buccaneers. whether or not that's Todd Haley's fault. Now, he has had it out for the Bucks. The Steelers offensive coordinator for years, whether it's on Twitter, when he's appeared on NFL Network, wherever he goes, he takes shots at Todd Haley. The defense, though, still should have stopped Mike Glennon with 60 yards to go yesterday. That was the first. So there are defensive coordinators in the Hall of Fame. Dick LeBeau, he's like 103.
Right.
And he had never, ever, ever given up a lead of a touchdown and lost the game in the final minute. I think like 67-0 or something.
Wow. That's impressive. Like that.
But to Snoop's point, if they had gotten one first down, then the defense wouldn't have had to have ended the game.
Tough times for some marquee teams. I mean, that's why every season is so fascinating because, you know, at the beginning of the season, you never would have thought the Steelers would be where they are. You never would have thought the Saints would be where they are. I mean, it's just, it's crazy how fast it turns, right?
Or the fact that, I mean, the two other things, the Cardinals and the Bengals are the last two undefeated teams. And
thank you.
They both had byes.
Road to the Super Bowl. So,
right, there you go. It goes right to Arizona. They can still carpool to the Super Bowl. To the Super Bowl. There's that. And there's the fact that the Buccaneers, so go to the Steelers game. The Buccaneers turned in last Thursday against the Falcons one of the most embarrassing no-effort performances in recent NFL history. They gave up 56 points on national TV on Thursday Night Football to the Falcons to the point where, I mean, it was over 3 minutes into the game. It was the worst thing anyone had ever seen.
Why?
And then they go beat the Steelers on the road.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Go figure.
I think we're going to have to leave it
say
at
no
that.
More.
Around the NFL on NFL Network this afternoon at 3, and next Sunday, of course, DirecTV's Red Zone channel. If you don't have it, you're doing it wrong. Go to DirecTV.com to sign up. Andrew, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Likewise. Good night, guys.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Clean house a little bit.
A little spring.
You
fall,
hoarder?
Spring cleaning? No, fall. It's fall.
Whatever kind of cleaning we need to do.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Having said that so poorly, we do need to go through Bean's clips.
But you're still unaware.
I don't know. I don't know.
Unaware of what season it is.
I can't really do this.
In Kevin's defense, spring cleaning is a thing, though,
thank
right?
You.
I mean,
right.
It's
Bean.
But it's an expression.
The time he's living in is also a thing, right? I mean, knowing what day it is and what month it is, that's a thing, too, right?
No, you're asking a lot of me now.
But I can see that spring cleaning has become bigger than that, like so popular that it's an expression. I mean, even if you're just going to clean out your car, you know, get a little spring cleaning on the car. It's kind of an expression that people use to mean cleaning things up and out, right?
If that's the position
you
want to take, feel free.
I'm going to take that position for sure.
How about when he said spring, fall, is this fall? It's fall. Fall cleaning. How about that? When he wasn't sure if it was fall or not.
I'm good with that, too.
That was classic, Kevin.
Is that a thing? Is that things people say? Oh, I'm not sure if it's fall. People go around saying that because it just means a general sense of well-being. Oh, you know what? I'm not sure if it's fall today. That's how good I feel.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Clean house a little bit.
A little spring.
You
fall,
hoarder?
Spring cleaning? No, fall. It's fall. Whatever kind of cleaning we need to do.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
In that 4 seconds, he had 2 springs and 4 falls. So I guess it is fall. Yes. So now we know.
And
all
if
right.
He sees his shadow when he comes out of the studio, then we get 6 more weeks.
That's right. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Con!
The Comic-Con?
Nashville Comic-Con this weekend. Captain James T. Kirk was there, William Shatner, and he confirmed that he's been in contact with J.J. Abrams about making an appearance in Star Trek III.
How about that?
Exciting times. Kirk returning to the Star Trek franchise for the first time since, Undiscovered Country, I guess, right?
Star Trek. Your story is a beautiful story. Yeah. From my point of view, yeah. It's a beautiful story.
It is.
I love your story.
I love your story. You sabotage. Sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Spock, sabotage the system.
Sabotage.
It's a sabotage, Bill.
I don't say sabotage. I say sabotage. You say sabotage.
That was weird.
They do say sabotage in Canada, though.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize
that's
that.
One of the words, like a boot.
And oh, okay.
Sabotage is a Canadian pronunciation of sabotage.
Well, he's very Canadian.
He is very Canadian. He says sabotage. I don't say sabotage. I say sabotage. You say sabotage.
Yeah, that'd be cool to have Kirk return to canon, as it's called.
It's also cool because they kind of wanted to establish a new set of characters in the new Captain Kirk and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But now that's done. Now you can have some fun. Play around with it a little bit, right?
Yeah. Look, they've never truly divorced themselves from what came before
right.
in that franchise. They had Leonard Nimoy in the first one.
Because they liked him.
And the second film was basically a reworking of Wrath of Khan, the greatest Star Trek movie. They sort of did a remake of that with their own spin on it. So they certainly honor their connections with the past. And you can see
there it is.
Do that there.
We should do some fall cleaning. Some of Bean's audio drops.
Simon Cowell's not happy. His X Factor in Britain, you know, he went back to do X Factor there because it failed here in the States. So he went back to be a judge on the X Factor in Britain where
That's
it was
where
a
it
big
all
hit.
Started, right?
Yeah. Turns out not a big hit anymore.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Strictly Come Dancing has beat it out.
I'm sorry? There's a lot of words in there that are going to need some exclamation. Explanation. Hold on. Explanation. Yeah, that's a word.
That's a word that needs some explanation, actually. There's a famous British dance show called Strictly Come Dancing.
Okay.
It's not Strictly Come Dancing.
Strictly Come Dancing.
That's what he said.
Your emphasis, though, is a little different word. Your emphasis was a little different word than I think how I would have said.
Strictly Come Dancing.
I rented that.
Strictly Come Dancing.
Not Strictly Come Dancing.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So what's that have to do with the X Factor?
That's where the whole Dancing with the Stars thing started. It was with this show in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Right? So there, that show just crushed X Factor in the ratings, despite the fact that Simon came back as one of the judges for the show on both Friday and Saturday nights. So not doing well.
Hmm.
So maybe that phenomenon has passed. Maybe the competition reality talent show is a thing of the past.
Although other ones are really doing well. The Voice is doing well, right?
Yeah, I guess America's Got Talent still does pretty
well,
right? That
does great. So they're just being replaced.
Congratulations to George Clooney. He got married over the weekend. He and his lovely wife, Amala Lamadan, tied the knot on Saturday in front of a bunch of big-name guests. Things kicked off at 8 p.m. at the ceremony at 8:18. It was all over, and they were man and wife.
That's a fast ceremony.
That's how you do it, by the way. Get it in and out. Nobody wants to sit there and watch you get married. They want the party afterwards.
That's right. I want to hear Kevin say his wife's name.
Yeah, I was going to say easy for you to say. I would not try that.
Come on. Give us one.
All right.
You're on a roll today.
Mrs. Clooney.
Oh, see what you did there? Zing!
Thank you. I am on a roll today.
And speaking of parties, Katy Perry is turning 30. And so she is throwing herself a party. Now, I want to know what your take on this is.
All right.
Can you throw yourself a big bash for your birthday? Is that something you can do?
Yes.
Do, yeah.
I think so.
I think people do a lot, yeah.
Okay. She is taking all of her friends on a 10-day all-expense-paid trip to Egypt. That's her party.
Wow.
If you're invited to her party, you get a ticket and hotel and everything, and they're setting up this event in Egypt for 10 days. That's what the party is.
That's pretty cool.
5-star hotel, private tours of the ruins. A team of former Navy SEALs will be the security team. Estimated cost for her party, $4 million for her birthday.
Wow. That's
I mean, it's nice when you've got that kind of money that you can spread it around to your friends and family, but it does seem awfully extravagant. But it's your money to spend the way you want.
Yeah. I just know, at what point do you reach the look at me factor of I'm throwing myself a 30th birthday party and I'm taking everyone to Egypt. Is that magnanimous or is that the height of super focusing the attention on you and how, first of all, rich and famous and talented you are?
I think it is. I mean, it depends on the person and how she interacts with her guests during the event. But I love Katy Perry and
I
want to give
too.
Her the benefit of the doubt. So I think it's magnanimous.
It's one or the other. I'm just putting it out there. It just struck me as a really sort of extravagant event, and you know, how does that
certainly
does that
over the top for a normal 30 year?
Yeah,
I mean, I can afford to do this, and I want to have my friends with me, is how I'd like to look at this.
Or I'll pick up the tab at Dave and Buster's
Right.
Invite everybody to Dave and Buster's, and I'll pick up the tab. And all the skee ball you can play.
I mean, is she going to go dress?
Now, wait, that's extravagant.
Is that much more of a party or less of a party?
Is she going to go and dress up as Cleopatra, make everybody worship her and carry her around?
Well, she's got that video, right?
Right.
Where she was that broad. So,
is it that kind of a thing? Or is it really like we're all just equals and we're just having fun together? I don't know.
They're all equals.
Well, Ralph, let us know when you get back.
I don't think I'll be invited. We had a bad breakup.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize it was ugly. Yeah. I thought you guys were still on good terms.
I was post-mayor. Yeah. Pre-brand.
Yeah.
You don't want to be post-brand.
You don't.
Right now.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh yeah, I forgot. I have stuff to give away. I've got a pair of tickets to see our friends Garfunkel and Oates.
Yay!
You love them, don't you? Yeah.
They're funny.
You watch their show over there on the IFC?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Very funny show. They are performing at the Avalon. It's a great place to see. Great small venue to see a band. October the 16th, it's happening. Plus a meet and greet with the girls. You get to meet Garfunkel and Oates. Tickets are available at LiveNation.com if you don't win. But if you'd like to win, why don't you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. And since it's October the 16th is the date of the show, caller number 16 will win a pair of tickets to go see Garfunkel and Oates at the Avalon. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jerry Lee Lewis, the Killer, 79 years old today. And by that, I mean he's nicknamed the Killer. He's not an actual killer.
He did have a lot of wives die on his watch, kind of mysteriously.
All right, not a convicted killer.
Right, he hasn't been convicted.
They don't call him the convicted killer. They call him the Killer, Jerry Lee Lewis.
All I know is she was alive when she went into the bathtub, Your Honor.
Ian McShane, 72. Bryant Gumbel, 66. Andrew Dice Clay is 57 years old today. Les Claypool from Primus is 51. And Zachary Levi, one of our favorites, 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, you know Tinder, the hookup app?
Sure. We all know Tinder. We all use it on the show. That's how we all met.
there's a new app called Cuddle App. And it's for people that want to find other people who just want to cuddle.
Oh, sure they do.
Jesus. Oh.
That's a thing.
These cuddlers, they have these cuddle cafes and cuddle parties. And just stop it with all the cuddling. Just go about your business.
Is it legit or is it a front, Ralph?
A lot of these cuddlers are serious, just cuddlers, and they're just damaged.
That is a weird thing where you hook up with somebody in the area, you cuddle, and then you go your own ways.
Yeah.
Supposedly, that's it.
That's all they want is just some human contact. That's all.
There's a Church of Superheroes, which seems like maybe that would be Ralph would be the pastor of that church.
I think one's flying over Bean's house right now.
Could be. Sorry about that. And one of the most famous DJs in the world, Steve Aoki, will be here tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.